Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
Go! Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Well, here we are, the last show here in the fantastic, fabulous Horn Studio for a while. Okay. Why have I got reverb on? Oh, I know why. There. No, there. All better now. Yeah, that's good. Good, good, good. I hate it when that happens. Yeah, oh well. Anyway, no, it's the last broadcast from the fabulous Horn Studio at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. For about, 1, 2, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 13 days. I'm out of here, over the weekend, headed to Washington, D.C. You know that already. But, I'm hoping that I will be on the air, if not every night, then some nights while I'm gone. That's what the road rig is for. I'm looking forward to it. And, well, I'll update via social media along the way as well. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. It's Friday on the front porch, and we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation here in about an hour. If you'd like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, it's real easy. Just remember, there's sort of a new way of going about it. If you want to be part of Friday on the Front Porch, go over to headon.live, headon.live. And the Skype link is there. You click the Skype link, boom, you're in the group, and away we go. Okay? That's how it works. Just run over to headon.live and click the Skype link. And, you know, while you're there, click the chat room link. Because if you do and you pick out a screen name and a password, well, you'll immediately become part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And you'll be greeted by the likes of Faith Ann and Malin and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while a spacing guild master, uses his powers judiciously and is today remaining Sparky. You'll also be moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Okay? So that's fun. And, of course, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable is fun. And that leads us to, we don't have any thank yous to send out to our Skype subscriber, or not Skype, to our PayPal subscribers. No, we don't. But this is the day of the month when we say thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Yes. So that's what we're going to do right now. At least, I hope so. They've changed the interface at Patreon. Thanks, guys. There we go. Thank you very kindly to Albert and to Alec. Thanks to Alex. And thanks to Andy the Angry Jew. And thanks to Annette and Brother Deacon Asa and Barb. Thank you to Barbara. Thanks as well to Brendan. Thank you to David. Thanks as well to another David. Thank you. Thank you to Ellen. Thank you to Eric in Pennsylvania, Bamistan. Thanks as well to Irwin out in Montana. Thanks to Foam Cups. Thanks to Frank. And thanks also to Frank of the Fab Machine. Thanks to Glenn and Greg. Thanks to Hamilton. Thanks to our buddy Horst. Thanks to John. And thanks to Jason. Thanks to Jenny. Thanks to Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you to Jim. Thanks to Joanne. Thanks to John. And also to John. That's John in Maryland, and then John who's not in Maryland. And then there's John in Colorado, and John who's not in Colorado, but in fact in Wisconsin. Thank you to Joyce. Thank you to Karen in California. Thank you to Carl in Texas. And thank you to Kat in Ohio. Thank you to Kimberly in North Carolina. Thanks to Peggy in the Sandbox. Thanks to Lori. And thanks to Marty as well. And thanks to Marty. And thanks to Matthew in Northern California. Thank you to Michael. Thanks very kindly to Nick in Ohio. And thanks to Ron in Delaware. Rhonda in Virginia. Rico in DeBerg. Robin, thank you. Thank you to Rocky. Thank you to Sonny and Steve from New York. Thank you to Steven. That's Steven in Wisconsin. Thank you to Susan in Massachusetts. Thank you to Terrace in California. Thank you to the Nubian. Thanks to Thomas. Thanks to our buddy Otto Deschott. Thank you to Tina. And thank you to Hung Like Jesus. And thank you very kindly to Vernon in San Diego. Those are our Patreon subscribers. And we thank them very kindly for being part of the process that keeps the program on the air and helps knock down about a week's worth of funding every month. So, again, thanks to all of our Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to be a Patreon subscriber, it's real easy. You just go to headon.live. There's a Patreon link there. Click it. And, you know, all the Patreon subscriptions come out at the same time, the first day of the month. So there's that. Now, where are we for fundraising? Again, because I'm going to be gone so many days, we're doing the first week of April in the last week of March. And we find ourselves at the end of the week at $335 to go to finish things up. $335. So hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later so that we're not still talking about it at 10 minutes before the close of the program. $335 is where things stand for the you know until it doesn't. Okay? $335. That's roughly 10 people at $33 or 33 people at $10. You know how that works. You do ciphering better than I do. And, of course, the PayPal button is over at headon.live under the Contribute tab. And thanks as well, as far as monthly subscribers go, to our dear friend Jude in the great Northwest. All right, so that means we can get the program going now. Thank you very kindly to Scott out in San Diego. Audio loud and clear times two. Sounding nice on White Rose and on headon.live. Regarding the D.C. trip, be sure to pack your waders, Bob. The GOP talking points, a.k.a. bullshit, are getting deeper by the day. Yeah, they're all, the GOP is really, they're all PhDs now. As long as PhD stands for piled higher and deeper. So let's get going with where the program. Well, we'll just see where the program goes. That's the cool thing about Friday on the Front Porch, we see what's interesting members of the rest of the community besides, you know, just little old me. It was with some relief that I noted that I didn't watch, and probably you didn't either, the incredibly bizarre piece of bad performance art that Julius Geezer engaged in last night. I continue to say that I don't think he's a well man. He sure didn't look it last night. And he was, I think if it was anybody but the President of the United States, there'd probably be a mental hygiene hearing taking place no later than today. This is what I mean. He was up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, by the way, where there are still some maggots. But it's worth noting that his number for re-election in Michigan is presently somewhere down around the very core base of maggotry at about 30-31% for Michigan. But you wouldn't know that by the freaks and geeks who came out to witness this little exercise in insecurity and bloviating ego.
This group of major losers did not just ruthlessly attack me, my family, and everyone who questioned their lies. They tried to divide our country, to poison the national debate, and to tear up the fabric of our great democracy, the greatest anywhere in the world.
Yeah, this might be a time to note that if there was actually a great big juvenile delinquent in the sky, lightning bolts and frogs and plagues of locusts and bears coming out of the woods to tear little children to pieces and things like that, if that creature really existed, there would be some sort of a response when the word democracy emerged from the Chlamydia Claudius' mouth. Really. This is... But the maggots were there in their hate hats. Remember, you can't spell hatred without red hat. And they were lapping it up like a kitten does cream.
Presidential elections, probably number one in our history.
Yes, yes, the not really election of Donald J. Trump, the appointment of Donald J. Trump through the operation of an anachronism from the days of the chattel slavery, the horrifying, deeply embarrassing national shame that was. This sad, sick freak thinks that his election was a bigger deal, say, than the election in 1860 of Abraham Lincoln. He thinks his election was a bigger deal than the very first election of George Washington. He thinks his election was a bigger deal than the election that got thrown into the House in, 1802? That wound up being a contest between Aaron Burr and Thomas Jefferson, and Burr wound up being his vice president, but only after making Jefferson sweat a little bit. Yes, he thinks his non-election, in which he got his ass handed to him by more than 3 million votes, was a bigger deal than the election of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, of course, lots of problems with Andrew Jackson, but it was kind of a watershed moment at the time. And he thinks it was bigger than the election of FDR, who began digging us out of the Depression. Right. Yeah. What a guy. Oh, this is annoying. I hope we're not going to have a bunch of... miserable bullshit internet problems this evening. The Frontier guy was out today. Theoretically, it's fixed. We'll see how much resemblance there is between theory and reality. Yeah, I'm not real crazy about having more of this sound clip either, but these are what we're doing here when we listen to this stuff. We're bearing witness to history, so that there will be some record. Every evening we make a record. You know, not like vinyl, but you get the idea. Every evening we make a record of what's going on in the country, in the world, etc. Darlene in Connecticut says, definitely he considers his election bigger than the election of the first black president, Barack Obama. Well, yeah, of course he does. I mean, that was just a horrible nightmare mistake. Right? Jesus. But, because, well, just remember, the apple falleth not far from the tree. Donald Trump's daddy was a Klansman. And Donald Trump is a white supremacist. Again, plain and simple. Ah, here we go.
Our country was hurt.
Hold on, let's back up just a hair.
Of one of the greatest presidential elections, probably number one, in our history.
Such a pathetically limited vocabulary.
Our country was hurt. Our country was hurt. And they're on artificial respirators right now. They're getting...
Laugh, maggots, laugh.
Resuscitation. Little pencil-necked Adam Schiff. I've ever seen. He is not.
Yeah, but his hands aren't as tiny as yours are, asshole.
But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia. Sick, sick. These are sick people. And there has to be accountability because it's all lies, and they know it's lies. They know. Jerry Nadler, I've been fighting him for many years. He was the congressman from Manhattan. I built great things in Manhattan. I had to beat him many, many times. Now I come here, I have to beat him again. Can you?
called the Trump Organization. Every single sheet of paper. And what do you have to justify? Nothing. It doesn't matter. We'll find something somewhere along the line. A mistake must have been made. These people are sick.
I think the official psychological term for this bullshit is projection. Whatever he says about someone else is something that actually applies to him. And he is sick. He's a sick, sick man. And no small number of professionals in the field of mental health are willing to say so. Funny thing about Gerald Nadler, though, he's apparently not sick enough that the Attorney General of the United States is willing to directly contradict him. Gerald Nadler demanded that the report, the Mueller report, be made public. I've said before, I'll say it again, I only want to read it to find out the degree to which Robert Mueller took a dive. I want to see the pretzel logic involved in running away pissing yourself because you don't have enough basic courage to challenge a demented freak in the White House. I want to see that. Yeah. And so, Barr, to prosecution, has declared that something that may or may not be some portion of the Mueller report will be available by mid-April, if not sooner. And he acknowledged that it's around 400 pages. I don't know why we get so obsessed with page counts. But in the letter that Barr sent to Representative Nadler, he said, I share your desire to ensure that Congress and the public have the opportunity to read the special counsel's report after I'm done dummying it up. No, I added that last part. We're preparing the report for release, by which I mean we're dummying it up. No, I added that part too. Making the redactions that are required, the special counsel is assisting us in this process. Oh, goody, help. Specifically, we are well along in the process of identifying and redacting the following: material subject to Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6E that by law cannot be made public unless someone applies to an appropriate federal judge for leave to make it public, which is entirely possible, but he's certainly not going to say that in the letter. 2, material the intelligence community identifies as potentially compromising sensitive sources and methods, as long as it comports with Donald Trump's desire to keep things nice and quiet. And 3, material that could affect other ongoing matters, including those that the special counsel has referred to other department offices, but we're not going to tell you what they are. Hell, the special counsel may have referred out Hillary Clinton for investigation of who killed Cock Robin, for all we know. And 4, information that would unduly infringe on the personal privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties like Donald Trump. Our progress is such that I anticipate we will be in a position to release the report by mid-April, if not sooner. Although the president would have the right to assert privilege over certain parts of the report, that's a real elbow to the ribs. God damn it, Donnie, pay attention. He has stated publicly that he intends to defer to me, and accordingly there are no plans to submit the report to the White House for a privilege review until I decide to do that, just to be on the safe side, because the guy I work for is a pathological liar. Oh, I added that last part too. But apparently Bill Barr is peeved I'm aware of some media reports and other public statements mischaracterizing my March 24th, 2019 whitewash job as a summary. Oh, I added the whitewash part. My March 24th letter was not and did not purport to be an exhaustive recounting of the special counsel's investigation or report. As my letter made clear, my notification to Congress and the public provided, pending release of the report, a summary of its principal conclusions. In quotes. Sure. That is, its bottom line. Special counsel's report's nearly 400 pages long, exclusive of tables and appendices, and color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and sets forth the special counsel's findings, his analysis, and the reasons for his conclusions that he didn't draw. Everyone will soon be able to read it on their own, or at least as much of it, as I personally decide that the people of the United States who paid for this goddamn thing deserve to see. Oh, I added that part. I believe it would be appropriate for me to testify publicly on behalf of the department shortly after the special counsel's report is made public. I am currently available to whitewash before the Senate Judiciary Committee on May 1st, 2019, and whitewash before the House Judiciary Committee on May the 2nd, 2019. Well, I certainly feel better now, don't you? No. You either? No, me not. Mm-mm. And Julius Geezer is still sweating. That's probably why he was so actively engaged in coming unglued last night up in Michigan. You know, and by the way, you remember the other night, and John, in our conversation last night, referenced it, on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, I played the audio of the loopy evangelical lady who tried to pray away the moose limb in the Pennsylvania State House. Well, Pennsylvania is not the only legislative body that has lunatic invocations. Now, bearing in mind the separation of church and state, the fact of the matter is there shouldn't be invocations before any meeting of any legislative body. You want to invoke the deity? Do it in a church. Government is not a church. But we turn our attention to Georgistan. And I'm just going to ask right now whether Steve or any of the other listeners in Georgia might have been feeling a little bit of, warmth on the soles of their feet, because Doyle Kelly, the father of a Republican by the name of Trey Kelly, who sits in the Georgia House of Representatives, well, Trey asked his daddy, who is apparently a preacher, to deliver the invocation for a session of the Georgia House of Representatives. Things got off the rails in a double-quick hurry. Now, this is in the Georgia State House. And he's talking about people who put the Republican majority in office there. This is one of those moments where a hockey puck comes in handy.
God, he's going to take care of it. But we need to notice something here. This peace of Christ, and he alone possesses it. Christ is the peace, and he alone possesses that peace.
It would be helpful if he wouldn't pop his peas so much, but he's not a professional broadcaster. He's a professional gospel hustler, so we got to cut him some slack. And by the way, a note coming in from Clarence down in South Carolina, Stan, talking about Trump. Bob, this guy's a real down-to-earth scumbag. It's unbelievable how anyone can believe his bullshit. Well, it's not so unbelievable, Clarence, when you realize that they desperately want to, and they are more than happy to, as long as he's saying the same kind of hateful shit that runs through their own failing brains. Yeah. Back to Reverend Dole.
Therefore, a person can only experience true peace as they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you don't have peace in this room today, it may be because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you only have true peace. You can only have true peace as you come to know Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty much at peace, but it must not be true peace. It must be some of that counterfeit peace or something like that, because you know, me and Jesus, we're not like that, no.
As your Lord and Savior, only Jesus can bring real peace to the human heart. To the human heart. Listen to what Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says. It says this, and the peace of God.
You know, little peace, about the size of a golf ball. It might be some toe jam involved. I don't know. This is crazy talk. But I'm playing this for a reason, because I'm worried about our friends down in Georgistan, members of our Horn Family Community Congregation.
Which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. So the first thing you need is that peace of God ruling your heart. Secondly, the believer's heart should be rich with the word of Christ.
Hey, old Republican guy sitting on the chair back behind him, don't pick your nose while he's talking to Jesus.
The believer's to let the word of Christ dwell in their heart. The word dwell means to be at home.
You don't say. That's some scholarship there, the word dwell.
To abide or to live within. As believers, we must make room within our hearts for the word of Christ. We must let the word dwell richly.
Skip a bit, brother. Unfortunately, he didn't.
Within our hearts. We should not be satisfied with just a little bit of the word of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, that's what's wrong with the church and with most Christians today. We don't have enough of the word of Christ dwelling within our hearts. What we need more as Christians, what we need more in our churches today, is we need more of the word of God dwelling within our hearts and within our churches. Amen? That's what we need. We should not be satisfied with just a little bit. When we have this word dwelling within us, it allows us to teach and admonish one another. As believers, we are to teach the instructions of the word.
I mean, this guy's even got Loony Lady from Pennsylvania whipped. I mean, he's given a full-on sermon, whereas she just delivered a straight-up, oh, Jesus, thank you for Donald Trump prayer. Won't you please lightning bolt that Muslim over there prayer?
Word. Admonish means to give warning of the scripture. Let me ask y'all this morning. How can we teach or admonish others if we do not know the word of God ourselves?
Ourselves.
Or if we do not let the word dwell within us? The answer is we can't. It's not enough just to know the word of Christ. We must be living it. Knowing the word and not living it means we are being hypocrites. So,
otherwise known as Republicans, but do continue, please.
If you're here today and you know what the Word of God says, if you know what the Word of God says,
did anybody get up and turn their backs on this on this gospel sharp, this charlatan?
I don't want to preach, Brother Ralston.
Well, it's a little late for that. I love a laugh line like that.
But if you know what the Word of God says and you're not living it, then this world is calling you a bunch of hypocrites. Our lives as believers must be the home, the dwelling place of the Word of God. Third, the believers should have a heart that does all in the name of Christ. Whatever the believer does in work...
Must not be much on the agenda for the Georgia House of Representatives to let this schmuck go on like this, but... Oh, well, it's Georgia. Forget about it, Jake. It's Georgistan.
They do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is the one who speaks and acts. No one does it for them. Whether or not the believer speaks and acts for Jesus Christ is their choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. Whether or not...
That's your choice. Women, nah, not so much with the choice, but to participate in a theocracy, that's your choice.
You speak and act. But the command is there. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People always ask me, why is there so many lost people in the state of Georgia?
Who would ask somebody like that? And how would he know how many there are? Well, let's find out the answer.
The statistics came out that there's 70% of the people in the state of Georgia that are lost.
Well, shit, they don't need a Bible. They need a map. Yeah, lost.
That are lost. 70%. There's over 10 million people in the state of Georgia. That means there's 7 million people lost. And you want to hear it in Baptist terms, 7 million people that are lost are dying and on their way to hell.
That would include your Muslims, your non-Baptists, your Jews, your Hindus, your Sikhs, your animists, your Wiccans, your atheists, your agnostics, and basically anybody that Brother Doyle here don't approve of. That's why I was asking. That's why I said I was a little bit concerned about folks like Steve and Hung Like Jesus, and because is it warm? Because Brother Doyle here says you're on the way to hell. Doyle Kelly. Right. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Remember when Fat Tony said that these invocations were not really religious? That is some pretzel legal logic. These motherfuckers are getting away with murder. The separation between church and state is essentially gone. Well, this might be a good time to remind everybody that I have long said that the First Amendment has become little more than a life support system for the evangelical religion industry. Let me check in with a couple of emails, because I mentioned Ron and Raleigh. We got one of his every damn day notes. I've said this before, says Ron. It's all the crap that Dolt 45 is doing under the radar that's going to take decades to unravel or roll back if the Democrats have the stones or desire to do it. Trump's appointed Mike Huckabee and John Voight to the Kennedy Center board. Can you imagine the havoc these two will do to this cultural organization? Hey, count your blessings, Ron. At least he didn't appoint James Woods. Then again, maybe that's on the way. Trump has demanded that we go to the moon. Well, I demand that Trump go to the moon. NASA said, yeah, maybe, by 2028. Well, recently Mike Pencil Neck Geek upped the ante and demanded that it be done by 2024. Don't these jagoffs realize we don't have any heavy launch lift vehicles? We don't have any lunar excursion vehicles. How is this feat going to be accomplished? Trump's promise to close the southern border. Yeah, that was a thing today.
Well, I'll just close the Mexican border and fuck it.
Gee, says Ron, that won't cause a massive disruption. There are things that even I don't see that are going to impact us for years to come. Thank goodness I will have gone on to my long home before all of this shit really hits the fan. And it's really gonna. But, Ron, I wish you long life. And, well, we just gotta be prepared to gut through this craziness. Also a note from Bob. Before that, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, is Brother Doyle going to ask who wants to be saved and when does the baptism start? Oh, I think if he got a half a chance, he damn well would. But no, got a note from Bob in North Carolina. I want to take a page from Scott in San Diego's book and recommend a TV show. PBS Nova has a four-part series on The Dictator's Playbook. The first episode is on North Korea and how Kim Il-sung came to rule. It involves a seven-step process. One, cult of personality. Only I can fix this. Two, learning from masters. Stalin, for example. Three, gaining consent. Using the carrot and the stick. Give the people something they want. Crushing the enemy is number four. Create an enemy and blame others. Five, propaganda, the repeated lie. Six, create a culture of fear. Americans are going to kill us. Seven, trust family for succession. Sound familiar? Julius Geezer's playing the same tune. One, cult of personality.
I'm the smartest, only I can MAGA.
Two, learning from masters. Putin, Kim Jong-un, Erdogan of Turkey, Duterte, and so forth. Four, crushing the enemy. Oh, I left out Bolsonaro there. Four, crushing the enemy. Turn Hispanics and Muslims into enemies. Blame them for all problems. Five, propaganda.
No collusion.
Birtherism. White nationalists are fine people. Six, create a culture of fear.
The Dems are coming for your guns. There's no future. There won't be any airplanes in the future. Wind power doesn't work.
Seven, trust family for succession. Ivanka, 2024. Bob says, after watching this first episode, I have not had the nerve to watch the other three on Saddam Hussein, Benito Mussolini, and Idi Amin. I will, when I stop shaking. The carotene Caligula is working his way through the dictator's playbook. May the great flying spaghetti monster watch over us all and keep us wrapped in his noodly appendage. A little light comedy from Robert in Australia. Let's not forget the Welcome to Hell speech, as delivered by Toby the Devil, as voiced by Rowan Atkinson. Americans, are you here? Yes, well, apparently God had a falling out with your founding fathers and doomed you all to hell in perpetuity. Good luck. Meanwhile, Scott in San Diego says, Trump was asked about peace. He went on 20 minutes about it and how he'd obtained it a number of times. Of course, this wasn't spiritual peace, nor anywhere near his heart either. His was a peace, P-I-E-C-E, on the side. Several pieces on the side, in fact. Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, even turned in the check stubs to prove that Trump paid for him, too. Yep. Steve in New York, regarding the Mueller report, says, I've been thinking a lot about the Mueller report. I always have to take a double take on my thoughts about it because of what I want to happen and to make sure that that does not cloud my judgment. However, a part of Barr's letter said that nobody blocked him from taking any course. Most interpreted that as Rosenstein and Barr not standing in the way of where Mueller wanted to go, including allowing Mueller to conclude on his own. The problem is, the letter from Mueller never said that. I can't help but think that Barr, in fact, shut this down. I recall that Mueller had filed papers to extend the grand jury until this September. Weeks after Barr comes in, the Mueller investigation ends. Frankly, sooner than anyone thought, and it was certainly sooner than Mueller apparently intended to go, given the permission he received to extend to September. In short, Rosenstein did not stand in his way and was letting Mueller go wherever he wanted and how long he wanted within his mandate. In addition, the more I pondered the letter from Barr, I realized it's not nearly as conclusory as Donnie has artfully portrayed it in the media insofar as it concerns collusion. Moreover, here are some other things that make me think there is much more in there that is damaging to dipshit than we think. For example, how's the June 2016 meeting not collusion, or at least an attempt at it? Barr said it does not conclude that there was no obstruction, nor did it exonerate the shitbag. As I understand it, Mueller basically articulated reasons for and against obstruction. Barr's summary was of a 400-page document, which he read, summarized, and wrote in less than 2 days. If it truly does exonerate, and rests the case, why not release it and get it out there? If it's that conclusive, why not push it out ASAP? Suddenly, Trump can't do that because it's up to Barr. Mr. Mussolini Jr. suddenly respects the separation of DOJ and White House norms. Finally, and conversely, why should I believe the portion of the Barr letter that says it does not exonerate him, but not the part that does conclude no collusion? I don't know. These views seem at odds. However, aside from all of this, I just can't accept any conclusions without reading it myself. Trump knows that the Trumpansies will believe whatever he says, no matter what the facts are. He knew that he could say anything about the report, and that was the narrative they would accept, and more importantly, parrot. I think this report is devastating. If it weren't, Mussolini Jr. would want it out there and would order it released. His actions just don't speak to that. In addition, there are so many public actions that any thinking person can only conclude that there is a there. Well, that's possible. But based on the way things ran, I'm still pretty comfortable with the idea that Robert Mueller took a dive. At least that's what the Barr letter made it sound like. Megan, by the way, I'll give you my 2 cents on Bob Mueller for what it's worth. I think he did an investigation under the watchful eyes of Republicans who attacked him for 22 straight months. It's impossible to think they meant other than they didn't trust Mueller or the investigation. Whatever Mueller's political leanings, I don't think he's stupid. Whatever he found wasn't enough to charge Julius Geiser with, and what he did find he had to outsource to other authorities so they could follow up. Cough, Southern District of New York, cough. And remember, even the Barr letter says other districts. So that means there's more than one. I think Mueller purposely left this out of his report he gave to Barr, and he did this under the auspices of it wasn't part of the investigation. I also think if he tried to raise the alarm himself, it would quickly get buried under the repeated can of it's a partisan Democratic witch hunt. For what it's worth, I don't think this is the end of it, and I think all this celebration is way too premature. Keep your chins and your spirits up, Horn family. It ain't over yet. Maybe not, Megan. I just can't quite work myself up to that level of optimism. But, one way or the other, we will see. But I imagine we'll be talking about a lot of this in the course of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable conversation. Remember last night we had that clip of Alex Jones ranting and raving in a chicken restaurant in Austin, where it just sounds like he's completely disassociated from reality. Well, I've got a little clip here, and it can be kind of boring. But you know that he's being sued by people that he slimed over Sandy Hook. And his entire media empire is at hazard. Well, what I have here for you is segments of his video deposition, where he shows up on and there's a camera pointed at him, and he's answering lawyers' questions, lawyers who represent the plaintiffs whom they say so egregiously and grievously harmed. Now, we know what we're used to hearing when we... when we hear a clip from Alex Jones, ranting, raving, screaming. Check this out.
There were 10,000 of them in Las Vegas that weekend as part of a larger event. And that as basically inside the Saudi Arabian Civil War, that they used the arms deal to get weapons inside the United States, and that they then killed the Patsy and then carried out the operation, and that the whole thing was basically a Saudi civil war. And a lot of that later came out.
Came out where?
I mean, it came out in the news that he went to the Middle East. It came out that he had been involved in arms dealing. And then also had to sign non-disclosures that I can't get into subsequently with other information.
You've signed non-disclosures?
Mm-hmm.
With who?
Can't talk about it.
Okay. What about? What's the general topic that you can't disclose?
I can't talk about it.
Okay, so apparently there is some non-disclosure agreement that you'd signed with some unnamed person that is relevant to the allegations that you were making about Vegas?
Yes.
Okay, and you can't, for reasons of that non-disclosure, you can't disclose anything about that today?
No, I can't.
Funny how he's not shrieking or screaming, isn't it? But he's sitting there laying out his false flag allegations about the massacre in Las Vegas.
Was that a government person that you did non-disclosure with?
Objection would instruct the witness not to answer to the degree it could disclose his identity. I think that question basically would.
Was it a corporate entity?
Same instruction, not to answer on grounds that the journalistic privilege shield as something that may identify or lead to the identification of the individual.
Was it a real person or an imaginary person?
Oh, it's real.
It's a real person. So there is a contract. If we needed it, we could get it. It exists. Do you
already,
own a copy?
I already told you it exists.
Do you own a copy?
We have a copy of that, don't we?
Well, he's just asking whether you...
Yes, we have a copy.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Let's talk a little bit about sources. What is InfoWars' policy on using unnamed sources?
If they've been credible in the past and... have been good sources, then we report it from an unnamed source.
Who is in charge or makes the decision on if the source is credible?
Paul Watson, myself, Rob Dew.
Okay.
You hear that cough? Yeah, he hasn't coughed in, no. Paul Watson, myself. Interesting, though, that the lawyer had to ask him, is this non-disclosure agreement with a real person, Alex, or is it with an imaginary person? But isn't it interesting that he's able to control himself? That he's not flailing his arms or shrieking. That he's not calling the other lawyer a libtard as he did the patrons of a chicken restaurant in Austin.
You've talked a lot about covering the internet.
I mean, let me be clear. Paul does his own thing. So he does his reporting and then helps us out with other stuff.
Okay, so it's you and Rob who assign credibility to sources.
Yes.
Okay. Talked a bit about covering the internet and what's being said on the internet. When you cover the internet and the stuff that's being said there, are there particular places that you consider important places to look on the internet for what's really being said and what's happening?
Yes.
What are some of your primary sources on the internet to get internet chatter?
I mean, everything from The Intercept to the New York Times to Drudge Report to CNN. I mean, we just look at everything. To the Congressional Record.
I understand you look at media. Mass media and government reports, but I'm talking about internet chatter, what the people are talking about online. How do you get a pulse of that?
It's not even getting a pulse. In the past, we would cover whatever the big chatter was because I thought it was interesting and the crew did. We basically try not to even do that anymore because it always gets assigned to us when we cover even big stories. Because it'll be like CNN takes the angle on Pizzagate and makes it huge. It's all a concerted effort, Washington Post, New York Times, CNN. They make that part, 4chan's reporting on the huge thing, and then we go and report on this huge thing that the media, corporate media, actually went, it's like a honeypot, and set up.
I think there's a reason Alex Jones and Donald Trump like each other so much. They're both hopelessly paranoid. CNN set him up. Did you catch that? Yeah. There are literally hours worth of this deposition. You can watch it if you want to. It's interesting. But what's particularly interesting is that while he sits there and he talks, suddenly he's in control of himself. And he's not shrieking about monkey jellyfish hybrids that are sold in the bazaars of old Kowloon. And I think you can take that concept and you can extrapolate it to the Hannity job and Flush Flembaugh and the rest of them. It's just a shtick that they do for a buck. And it pays really, really well. But in a way, that makes it even worse. Because it means that they are willing to tear this country to shreds just to pad their bank accounts. And in a way, that's a form of, it's a form of treason. Oh, and one last thing, and this will probably drive Sparky to fits of howling. In addition to the madness that about, you know, calling Adam Schiff names and these are sick people, there was another passage in the madness of King Don last night. And it was a real Lulu. Because he decided to go after, and he has a history of doing it, sustainable energy. And after his 2-hour hate, he talked to the Hannity job, you know, the life support system for a haircut. And it was it was a thing. It was definitely a thing. And it might be a thing that might play sometime. Because it's all terribly frustrating. Let's try this again. Just a second. We've heard this before, but he repeated it last night.
If Hillary got in, you wouldn't have that stat, I can tell you right now. You'd be doing windmills. Wing. And if it doesn't...
Wing.
If it doesn't blow, you can forget about television for that night. Darling, I want to watch television. I'm sorry. The wind isn't blowing. I know a lot about wind. I know a lot about wind.
Oh, he knows about a lot about wind. He's one of the windiest. He's probably the windiest fucker that's ever inhabited the White House. This all goes back, because everything goes back to some grievance of his. This all goes back to a lawsuit. He sued the government of Scotland over a wind farm that he said spoiled the view of one of his stupid golf courses in Scotland. And he didn't just lose. He lost his ass. He got his ass handed to him. The golf course is in Aberdeenshire. And he said, when I look out of my window and I see those windmills, it offends me. And so, yeah, he sued. Got his ass handed to him. And then, adding insult to injury, last month, a court in Scotland said, hey, fucker, you're going to have to pay the legal costs of the Scottish government expended in defending against your bullshit lawsuit. And so he hates wind energy, and he despises renewable energy. Yeah. And that business about can't watch TV, you tell that to the Germans. Because from time to time, they wind up asking people to plug more stuff in because they've got too much wind and solar generated energy. It was a lot of years ago, but I actually saw it happen. Yeah. Another note from Steve in New York regarding the Mueller investigation. Two more things I forgot to include, and I'll shut up after this. You don't have to shut up, Steve. Nothing indicates the counterintelligence portion of the investigation aside from the criminal aspect. Then there's this. Mueller was not a special prosecutor. He was the special counsel. One, the special prosecutor was pursuant to a particular statute that passed after Watergate. The last special prosecutor was Mr. Baptist porn star Ken Starr. Mueller's mandate was to counsel, not prosecute. Makes perfect sense, at least to me, that he would not come to a conclusion, but that he would place what he found in a report to Congress exactly as the FBI does it. The FBI does not make conclusions, it gives findings. The sentence in Barr's letter where he says, the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. First of all, this is not the whole sentence is not there. As you know, people can change the meaning of a sentence by doing that. For instance, the witness indicated that he could not definitively identify the color of the light when he hit the pedestrian, versus the witness indicated that he could not identify the color of the light. Oh, there's a bunch of stuff there. But I'm not holding out a lot of hope. Because I'm sorry, I believe that the simplest answer, once you've eliminated the impossible, the simplest answer is most often the correct one. And the simplest answer I can find is that because he's a Republican, Robert Mueller took a dive. The fix was in from jump. The dice were loaded when they came out of the little case and were set on the crap table. Everybody at the poker table except the sap had a couple of aces tucked up their sleeves. And if there's evidence to suggest I'm wrong, I will happily be wrong. I will happily be wrong. But I don't see it yet. So here we are, 5 past the hour. Again, we got $335 to raise, so that we're not in a giant hole. While I'm gone to D.C., we are, sadly, at zero. But let's run over and check in with Sparky and see what's going on in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Hey, Sparky. Sparky.
Brother Bob, I hate to interrupt, but Duncan's sick, and he said he doesn't feel like much talking tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it. Well, Sparky, yeah. Get to feeling better, brother.
Yeah, it's.
I probably made it worse by having Donald Trump call wind turbines windmills. I didn't. I wouldn't. Okay.
I didn't mean to butt out. I can get out of here.
No. Stay right there. I mean, there's no. You know. No, you're more than. It looks like you're. Well, you're pinch hit chat room or pinch hit Friday on the front porch moderating now, Steve. You're stuck.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. There's Brother Scott. He's here. He always makes me laugh. But I feel bad that Duncan's feeling bad. But it's probably just the sniffles or a cold or something. I've been having stomach issues for a week. But I'll get it lined out, man.
Well, spring's coming. Things are blooming.
Yeah.
I've been sneezing like a crazy man. So you'll have that.
You know what? It could be Glauber's disease.
Who knows?
Glauber's disease?
Yeah, it affects your hearing. Huh?
What?
It causes shortness of pants, but only in the summer.
Let me say something real quick, and I'd love to hear you and Scott talk back and forth. Bob, how short did you say you was? I missed all that, man. Challenge-wise?
We're at minus 335.
All right. Let me go 25, and that will take it down something. Or you can use that as a challenge or however you want.
Well, you're just getting it started. If you want to call on people to match it, go right ahead.
That's up to you, brother.
No, it's up to you. It's up to you. It means more coming from you than it does from me, believe you me.
All right. Yeah. Well, please. I mean, please, yeah.
It would have been been 350, but earlier today Lady B got us started and got it down to 335. You've got it down to 310.
And Bob's not going to Washington to play tiddlywinks. This is serious business he's undertaken. And if you can afford a latte for yourself, buy one for him. I mean, just keep that in mind. Every day, you know, a lot of us, I'm not going to say all of us, I don't know all the Horn family, but probably 20% of us at least go to Starbucks and get a latte, you know. That's $5 shot right there. Well, if you could piss $5 and win a latte, I mean... You get what I'm saying, don't you, Bob?
Oh, I do. I do. That's why, you know, for the longest time I talked about the fact that you can't even buy a McDonald's plain hamburger for what a $10 subscription works out to on a per-show basis.
Right.
Less than
48 cents.
Why would you want to? Even though I'm going to miss you something terribly, you'll be back. I mean, time
flies.
Well,
and remember, I hope to be on the air while I'm there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you're going to do shows.
I got this awesome new road rig, and we're going to put it to use.
Do you mind if I message you and ask? Are you going to be on tonight, or is it too much aggravation?
It just depends on what I'm doing.
All right. Well, if you're busy, don't just ignore it. If you can answer, hit me back.
Yeah, sure.
Will that work? Okay.
Yeah, and then you can kind of spread the word.
All right. Excellent. Well, I'm going to go ahead and chuck it in. And take it away, Scott. It's all you, brother.
Before Scott takes anything away, I just need to know, because we've got two members of the Georgia contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation in the room tonight. How do you feel about being told by Brother Dole that you're going to hell?
Well, hell, I'll just save him. I'll just save him a room right next to me. Shit.
I'm already there, man.
Yeah, what the hell? I'm going to hell, Bob. Is that why I tuned in here, just to find out I'm going to hell?
No. This is only for people in Georgistan.
Well, fuck them people.
You're going to have to go to hell. You're going to have to go to hell on your own hook.
You hurt my feelings, man.
I'm just kidding you, Steve.
Yeah, I know. You know, we love you. You're good people, man. No, my take is that with Orange is the head of the running the program, we're already in hell. So fuck, man.
Yeah. Well.
Or yeah. Headed that way, halfway there. You know.
Headed that way, baby. That's why the Patriots listening to the Horn family are the ones that are going to pull this shit out of that dive. We don't give a piss about the MCAS system. We're going to hit the switch and pull the fucking thing back out of a dive before we hit the ground.
We're going to pull up to that rusty pickup truck. We're going to hook a come along to the frame in the back, and we're going to take our rusty pickup truck and pull this thing out of the ditch, John.
Out of the ditch, baby. We got to. We don't have any other choice. keep going down this road, young, you're talking about full-blown fascism, baby.
But Georgia, as a hee-haw state of and in itself, is making progress.
Of course. Texas is too, baby.
The Senate just passed the medical marijuana use yesterday, so it's a done deal now, man. And that's the 31st state. Yep. The
wholesome state of Texas. Don't do that down here.
As my little button says that I wear as sort of a conversation starter, it's a picture of a fried egg, and the caption says, "A mind is a terrible thing to confuse with an egg."
Yeah, that's true, baby.
I'll post it in the Skype chat. It's a real thing. I bought it in Cincinnati, and they should know. So.
By the way, let me mention that the stress line is also available for this Friday on the front porch. Remember, 844-843-4676 if you can't do the Skype thing. So we got room on the stress line if anybody wants to jump in that way.
Jump in and say hello to the whole family. What in the world?
Yeah, all kinds of odd noises.
Somebody backing up a truck there?
Well, if I want to clarify something on fundraising. We're kind of fundraising for the time that you'll be on the road. Is that what we're up to?
Yeah, because otherwise when I come back, we're going to be in a 9-day hole.
All right. Well, pencil in for April, because I can't do it till after the 3rd. I was planning on sending 10 as my monthly, pledge. So pencil me in for 10, and, you know, it'll get there after the 3rd of the month, come April.
Okay, so that takes us down to 300, and... the whole idea was if we did it this week, then when I get back, we'll only be 2 or 3 days in the hole instead of,
instead of a seven week, or 10 eight days worth of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
shit.
Well, that makes sense.
I didn't know we could do this on credit, Bob. God damn. Put me down for 10, too. on Monday, baby. That's when I get paid. I'm doing the same thing. I get paid on Monday. Maybe I'll put it right through PayPal.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
I'll take you under 300, baby. Y'all need to pitch in a little bucks here. This stuff is not easy to do. Bob needs that money to keep not only on the air, but to make a trip like Washington, D.C. It's not a vacation. He's there to do the people's work, and we need to support him. So, baby, I just didn't know I could gladly pay you Tuesday for a
hamburger today, yes.
Hamburger. Yes, sir. Anyway, put me down for 10, Bob. I'll
all
make
right,
sure
thank you. Well, thank
there,
you, John.
Bob.
Thank you. That's 290, then. Mm-hmm. We're on the way. And then... when I get on air, from D.C., since we'll be in April, then, Shirley's Challenge is out there, too. So, and that's courtesy of Laborman and our pal Ralps, and one person who prefers to remain anonymous.
Anonymous? So, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met him one time.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Big guy. That's why they call him Moose.
Moose.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, Horn family, I say it every time I come on here on the Friday on the front porch, you cannot find better entertainment. You can't find better information to be enlightened out here. And it costs you, pennies a day, baby, pennies a day to be able to keep this going. And it's that important and it's hard to raise those funds, baby. That's how come it's so important for the Horn family and all those listening. Take the time out, pitch in a few bucks. It goes a long way.
And this evening, then, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut, I just heard from Darlene. There's a $100 challenge on the table, which, if met, will take us down to only $90 to go. So, thank you, Darlene.
Somebody reach out there and meet that challenge.
Yeah.
Group up and meet that challenge if you have to. Come on.
Yeah, 20 at 5, 10 at 10. You know, it all counts. And by the way, getting in on the awful joke department, going back to Scott's button. Cowbell for Randy in PA. Remember what the cannibals said about Marcel Marceau.
What'd they say, Bob?
We're going to hell for this. A mime is a terrible thing to taste.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. There's a bitterness in you don't know what to think of it.
Well, you know what the cannibal said when giving his review about the entree circus clown.
Oh, you mean the two cannibals are eating the clown, one looks at the other and says, does this taste funny to you?
There you go.
There you go.
Ba-dum-bum. Or my favorite one, the cannibal restaurant that had all kinds of entrees reasonably priced, except you got down to the bottom and in the fancy print, radio network vice president was like four times the cost of the other items on the menu. And they asked the waiter about it, and he said, well, when it comes to network radio vice presidents, have you ever tried to clean one?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. That's true. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so the first
you know,
$10.
You know what Damascus said? You know what Damascus said to the sadist? I mean, the sadist said to Damascus?
That's Damascus to the sadist, and yes, I do. They got married.
You probably would.
And
you probably would.
And the Damascus said to the sadist, hurt me, hurt me. And the sadist said, no.
No. That's one of my favorite, Bob. You were fixing to say, Bob, I interrupted.
The first $10 has been met by Faith Ann, so there's $90 to go on Darlene's challenge. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you so very much. So we're off and running. That's awesome.
There you go.
Who was it who wrote in earlier about the program on PBS, The Dictator's Playbook?
That was Bob in North Carolina.
Yeah, let me concur. That was a fine series.
You watched all four?
It was on here. PBS stuff is not always on the same time in other markets. And we had it on a couple of weeks ago.
Well, Bob said he just ran. He was so creeped out by the Kim Il-sung one. Kim Il-sung one, professional broadcasting, y'all. I don't know. It's kind of like watching horror movies. He's working up his courage for the other three: Idi Amin, Benito Mussolini, and who was the other?
Saddam
Hussein. Yeah.
But it was a fine. I don't scare easily, Bob. I've been married and divorced twice, danced with a brain tumor, and deal with the housing department and Social Security on a regular basis. So I don't, I obviously don't scare easily. So, I just check it out. I think you can watch it on the PBS app if you have a Roku set up or an Amazon.
Nice. Yeah,
TV
a lot
deal.
Of those you can't. Scott, do you have Netflix?
Oh, yes. Yes,
there's a movie on there called You. It's all it's called is YOU. It's not a movie. It's a series. It's about a guy that's obsessed with a woman, and it's worth a watch.
Somebody been reading my mail.
They made a movie about you.
Uh oh. Just YOU.
That's all it's called is YOU. Yeah, it's worth. And I don't know if you're into Santa Clarita Diet with Drew Barrymore, but season 3 of that was released today. That's entertaining. If you're into that
diet,
no. It's very difficult to get into. It's like a funny zombie show with Drew Barrymore.
Oh dear.
So put all that in the mix, you know. But they just released season 3 today, and it's very entertaining.
Oh, last night on NBC, I watched the premiere episode of a sitcom called Abby's, ABBY S. It's about a woman who in her backyard has a bar under the stars here in San Diego in the South Park neighborhood, which is right near the North Park neighborhood where I live. And I didn't know what to expect. I didn't recognize any of the names in it. But it was a happy little show. I mean, it was a bar comedy, and it wasn't Cheers. But just watching the pilot, I see that it has potential.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, when you catch something like that out of the gate, that's really cool, man.
Thursday night, NBC, 9:30 Eastern. Abby's. Check it out.
Will do, man. Always dig your recommendations. You hadn't steered me wrong yet.
There you go. A source of information, people, I'm telling you. Yep. Right here on the Horn Network.
Yeah. Yep.
On reviews. You even get that out here.
That's right. And they're good, too.
Yes, they are.
Product reviews, food porn.
Food porn. Got it all here, Bob. Food I'm telling porn. You.
I mean, we do our homework. This isn't something we just, spaghetti and meatball. We know our beans, man.
There you go.
Well, John, they could do a series about you on TV.
Oh, stuff, shit, yeah.
Stuff
yeah.
that people send you. T-shirts, beer.
Oh, man.
Man, if I, know, I would love to do one called Uncle John or something. Or
one of these days, one of these days, John, somebody's going to send you a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle.
And, Pappy Van Winkle.
And I suggest, I suggest instead of breaking the seal on that sucker, you put it on eBay because...
Yeah. $4,000 or $5,000, ain't it, Bob?
No, it can be. People get absolutely rapturous about that shit.
Yeah, good God.
I'll have to keep an eye out. I've gotten everything from a meteorite, which is true. Somebody actually sent me a meteorite, all the way to Irish whiskey and just about everything in between. I got more honey coming, though, Bob. I was just talking on my show last night. We went live, and your name came up several times there. And I'm going to see about trying to hook you up with some honey that this young lady sells out of her store up there in Massachusetts. And she was explaining to it because the last honey she sent me, or she sent me a bunch of it, but one of them was this honey. It was goldenrod and pepper. Well, you know, when you think about honey, it's delicious, Bob, and it's got a kick to it. You get in there, you taste the honey, and you go, that's
strange. We like our kick.
Oh, yes, baby. This one's got a kick. And, I was talking about it last night, and she was telling me about some new honey they got from this place that produces peppers. I don't know what kind of peppers they are. She just said it's a big pepper farm, and they have the honey collected there, and it's a real spicy, kind of hot honey because they get their nectar from the pepper plants.
Ooh.
But the one she sent me, the goldenrod and pepper, boy, howdy shit. She opened my eyes to what varieties of honey are out there, and this was just really tasty. But you don't pour this shit. You have to dig in there with a knife, get you a scoop of it, and spread it.
Yeah.
Nothing pours about this thing. It is just thick. It is
delicious. Well, you've got an amen from Darlene in Connecticut. Darlene says goldenrod-based honey is delightful.
Oh, it is. And then you add that pepper. I don't know what kind of pepper plants. That's all the label says is goldenrod and pepper. And you get that sting at near the end of the taste. There you go. You start out with that sweet taste, and then all of a sudden, ooh, that's got a bite. And she said, "Well, John, if you like that, I'm going to send you something that's got a little bit more kick." So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh my!
And that, yes, the Blue Dot family has indeed blessed me with so many little trinkets, gifts, and some not so small. We advanced our show by. Michael Sean up in Chicago, who donated a MacBook Pro, the big version, the big thing.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not a cheap gift. I mean, that's an expensive item.
I priced them.
Yeah. You're looking around close to $2,000.
The MacBook Pro with a Core i7 and 16 or whatever gigs of RAM.
Yeah, this thing's got...
You can get north of $3,000 in a hurry with that.
This thing has got RAM and 2-terabyte hard drive or some shit like that. I'll never fill that tucker up.
That thing will take you to the moon, Uncle John. How to plug in the right code.
Well, you'd be surprised, John, if you save your video to that thing, you'll fill it up faster than you thought.
But I've taken to having to delete, my daily video that I do, my Monday, Wednesday, and Friday rants. I just delete them after they're up online because, if they're online, I can find them all the time.
Well, put them on a thumb drive, bro, if you want to save them for austerity. I mean, there's a million ways to save things, man.
The only thing I save now and I had one today, started that rant up. Sparky was listening to me. I'm 8 minutes into the rant and just going cracking up good and all of a sudden just a head full of nothing. And I just stumbled and I went to... Oh, fuck, now I got to start all over again.
It happens, bro.
Well, I am from time to time accused of having a head full of nothing myself, so I sympathize.
Yes. You get to that point where you had a thought a second ago, and something must have distracted me or something on the computer, and there it went.
Speaking of...
Yeah.
I need to send out a quick thank you, because we got good things going on. Thank you to Alma. Alma just knocked us down to $60 to go on Darlene's challenge.
Oh, Alma,
that's awesome.
Thank you very much, Darlene.
And out in far Cascadia, Mike jumped in and said, if somebody meets my $25, I'll kick in another $25. So we've got enough challenges on the table to get within like 25 bucks of completely wiping out the minus 335 we started off with.
Well, somebody kick up that 25 for Mike. Make Mike feel good. Mike didn't need that.
Karen wants to know if hers dropped. She sent you one earlier, a $25 one. Did you get it?
It came in as, let me see here.
It probably came in under my name.
Yeah, it did come in under your name. Yeah, it came in.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, that's from Karen, man.
Okay, so, well, thank you, Miss Karen.
Yep.
Even if I do look like Grandpa Joe.
Oh, you look like Grandpa Joe. Is that what it is? Well, Angie got a handsome Grandpa Joe.
She
right,
never...
Bob?
Did I just rat you out?
She never said that. She just hates Grandpa Joe. She hates everything he stands.
Oh, I thought I bore some resemblance to him.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
You know, we were just watching Willy Wonka. They're playing it all the time now. She's like, you know, that guy's worthless. All he does is he lays in bed for 6 years, and then all of a sudden he gets a golden ticket, and he's up dancing and doing cartwheels. You know, what a sandbagger. Why didn't he give that ticket to his daughter who folds laundry and has been supporting his ass for the last 6 years, you know? And she's like, I hate that guy.
Hey, thanks to thanks to Sheila, we're now down to 50 to go. And then after that, we'll get started on Mike and Cascadia's challenge. And Mike has a recommendation for an office I need to visit while I'm there. And Mike, I absolutely will. Big doings are afoot.
Outstanding.
I've got a request, Bob, and it's a technology request, in that it's about the old style iPod earbuds, the corded earbuds, not with the lightning connector, but with the standard little 3.5 mini jack. I've got two of those things barely used somewhere in this domicile, and I cannot find them. I know I brought them with me when I moved 2 years ago. And I can't reach my psychic friend in Kansas City because she helps me find stuff when I cannot find it. So if there's anybody in the Horn family who has any psychic ability, can you tell me where my old Apple iPhone earbuds are?
I already know. I got
them.
I already
where
know.
Where are they?
They're in the last place you look.
Oh, yeah, well, I know that, but I'm tired of looking. I looked
trying to help here. I mean, you know.
I looked while you were doing the Bob-a-thon, what do you call it? The
filibobster.
Filibobster.
I looked in about a half dozen boxes that I had in the kitchen.
Well, there's one box I bet you haven't looked in, and you never know when Chirps the Cat may decide to punk you.
Or the junk drawer. The junk
no,
drawer.
No, just kind of take your little litter box scoop and sift around a little bit.
No.
She may have buried them.
Oh, no.
I don't think you'll want them if you find them there, but I mean, just saying, man.
You're right. Well, because I found some on Amazon, and, you know, I'm prepared to spend $11 to get them. But I know as soon the day they arrive, I will open a box and the two old ones that have been barely used will be there. And Amazon has gotten hinky about returning stuff lately.
Really?
So, yeah, they used to be real good.
It used to be easier than Walmart. I mean, you just put it back in a bag, and they took it and credited you.
I don't know. Maybe I was returning too much stuff.
No, maybe not. What are they giving you, crap, Scott? Or?
Well, I don't have a printer that works. And if you don't have a label, they used to send you a label. You know, but now I've got to go down to the place and get a label made. And
if you didn't have a printer, man, that would make life rough on you.
I know where the printer is. And I wish I would put the printer wherever the iPad or the iPod earphones are, you know, because I know where I'm looking at the printer right now. It's sitting there looking back at me, you know.
Oh, it's just not configured? Is that what you're saying? Or
no, it ran out of ink and those cartridges.
Oh my God. Jesus. You better Yeah.
Okay. Okay. No, wait. Darlene wants to know, did Scott check his ears?
No. You're misunderstanding, Darlene.
You have no idea how many times I've found my glasses on top of my head.
Well, no, I've got my glasses. I know where they are. The earphones that I'm using now, I know where they are because I can hear Bob and the rest of you and stuff. No, these are ones that were on old iPhones that I got, and I never used to like the iPhone earphones, earbuds, because they would not stay in. But then I found these on Amazon. They're little silicone things that fit over each earbud, and they have a little hook that catches on part of the cartilage in your ear. And they're like $6 for like a 4 or 5 pair of them in different colors. And they're great. That you could pick me, if you were big enough and strong enough, you could pick me up by my feet and hold me up over a floor and shake me until Trump resigns. And these earbuds would not fall out with these little silicone hooky things.
Yeah, the silicone works better to create a seal. Short of having something that's made from an actual mold of your own ears, it's about as good as you can get.
Well, these things are great. And anybody who had the same trouble I did with keeping your iPhone earbuds in your ear, look on Amazon for earbud silicone. And they come in various colors, and they're cheap, and they work.
Oh, by the, and by the way, we have another viewing recommendation, okay, courtesy of Megan. I highly, on Netflix, I highly recommend The Umbrella Academy. I've seen that a couple of times. I'm just not sure quite what it's all about. So, well, of course, I don't know.
Bob, Karen wants to say something to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, give me a second.
Hello.
Hey, Karen.
What's up, Bob? How you doing?
Kind of about halfway out of my mind trying to get ready to get out of here, but apart from that, okay.
Somebody's got started that I hate you because you look like Grandpa Joe.
No. I thought
I heard it too. I heard the same thing. Some guy named Steve started.
Yeah, he gets annoying like that.
No, Steve and I were messaging one night, and I got the impression you thought I bore a resemblance to Grandpa Joe.
No, you don't look like Grandpa Joe.
I cannot tell you how relieved I am to hear you say that.
I've lost you. Uh-oh.
No, I'm here.
I'm coming forward, dear. I don't know. I don't do computer things.
All you got to do is just sit there and talk, darling. We all hear you. We'd love to hear
okay.
you. I'm so happy to hear you.
Well, I apologize for my cartoon voice. I've been accused of having that, so I try not to get in conversations too much. But anyway, nobody hates you. I didn't think you did.
I'm just relieved to know I don't look like Grandpa Joe.
Well, that's what
I have enough. Yeah, no, I have enough self-image body problems as it is. That's why I'm not on video.
Well, don't we all? Well, I don't have looks for TV, and I don't have a voice for radio. So there you go. Anyway, I'm sorry. Steve's just spouting nonsense at me. So, anyway, you have a good night.
Hey, you too. Thanks a bunch, Karen.
Thank you,
okay.
Karen.
Thank
See
you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye.
Which reminds me,
was sweet.
Speaking of see you later, I need to re-mention that the second great Malloy Palooza has been scheduled. And it's going to take place the second weekend in June, like June 7th through the 9th, in Blairsville, Georgia. I'm going to be there. I'm doing the barbecue again. Last time we had smoked turkey and pulled pork. This time I think we'll do some brine.
Blairsville? Shit, that's right up the road, man.
Yeah. So this time through, I'm going to do ribs And my recently discovered technique for stuffed pork loins.
Nice.
Boy, how to shit.
And some and some brine chickens. But if you want the details on it, run on over to MikeMalloy.com. There's everything you'd want to know about it. And registration is only open through May 1st, and space is limited.
Is it at Bogle State Park, Bob?
I don't think it's in a state park itself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Highland Games are going to be going on then. And yeah. As I've said, I'm thinking about trying to get my hands on the Kincaid tartan because I've never had an opportunity to wear a kilt. Agnes is saying she's going real old school and just going to paint herself blue.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Shit,
I want to see the picture of you in that kilt.
Like a plan.
I got great legs, John.
I bet you do, Bob. I bet you do, buddy. Be proud of them.
Got
They're hairy, John. They're hairy.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about going for a Brazilian full body wax first.
Oh shit. Oh no. Oh, I heard that's painful, Bob. I've seen a video. Guy on YouTube. Screaming big time, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I saw those guys getting it done too, and they did. They squealed like
Yes. Yeah. I'm allergic to pain myself.
Oh, my
doctor told me straight up, son, you're allergic to pain. So I stay the fuck away from that shit no more.
Oh, and by the way, Scott, you've got a recommendation from Brother Deacon Asa, who knows of which he speaks. Tell Scott the Bose Silicone Stay Here system, that's STAYHEAR, is impeccable, both for comfort and a secure hold.
Well, there you go.
I'll look that up.
It backs up that recommendation.
You know what I had once that I wish I had not gotten rid of? Paul Harvey sold me this thing, the original Bose acoustic wave sound system, the big one, not the little wave radio. Oh, God, I love that thing. I was so impressed with it, I even wrote to Paul Harvey, and he read my my critique on the air, my review.
Oh, wow.
I wish I still had that
tape. Paul Harvey style.
Hello, my name is Paul Harvey. Age.
Nope. Yeah, I never forget. He got kind of right-wingy, Paul Harvey did, and the late, great Bart Kopp kept begging, daring him to sue him by publishing the allegation, Paul Harvey, horse molester.
Horse molester. Oh, no.
Now, wait a minute. There's got to be a story there.
Well, it was back during the Great Cleanest Hunt, and Paul Harvey went day in and day out, just Clinton's a pervert. Wow. And so Bart Kopp responded by saying Paul Harvey is a horse molester, and dared him to sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's see here. Note coming in from Lady B, who absolutely just devastated me last night with the graphic of a Nancy Drew mystery. Nancy Drew and the night we buried our last fuck.
Yeah.
We have no further fucks to give.
We're out of fucks.
Lady B says, Bob, that YouTube video of Saddam Hussein calmly smoking a cigar as he orders members of his cabinet to rise and be escorted out to their executions is creepy as fuck and sobering as hell. Dictators aren't just shit you see in black and white documentaries.
Mm-mm.
They exist today, and it can happen to us.
There's one in our house, a wannabe. That's his dream in life. He wants to be the potentate, the king, the dictator, the glorious leader. Whatever freaking nickname you can come up with these assholes, that's what he wants to be.
Well, yeah, and you know, one of the things that's, I mean, it was chilling to see.
What's chilling, Bob, is to
see these freaks saying, we've already made a list. Yeah. And you know, we know everything you've said.
Put my ass on that list, baby. You can find me on YouTube. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, baby. I don't hide a shit and ass thing I say. That man is a stinking liar. He's a con man. He's worse. He's everything that we've all said he is.
Well, he's a wannabe Mar-a-Lago Mussolini.
Yes, baby. Yes.
And he's gone. He is gone. He has flown the coop. He's pining at, you know,
oh, he's gone.
The elevator.
He's going full animal.
Yeah, you know? The elevator don't go all the way to the top. And we may see inside of this year the day that he tears his clothes off and bites the head off a live hamster.
Oh, if it pleased the crowd, baby. Them people up in Grand Rapids last night, he flat told them. He's the smartest guy, went to the best schools, had the best education, got the best house, got the best apartment. Holy shit, let me puke some more. You know, it's that constant stream of he is the greatest man in the world. And that's who some of his freaking followers think of him. When that lady stood up and said, I never wanted a dictator. Oh, there's my donkey.
Aww.
Yes. She is right under the house, right underneath my window.
Oh, bless her heart.
She is the sweetest thing, Bob. I'm telling you, everybody in the family, in my Blue Dot family knows, you know, they know who Jenny is. That's my donkey. I'm so much of a Democrat, I got a donkey, baby. You know?
At the beginning of the month, you know, we have Shirley's Memorial Challenge from Wisconsin. And that was all started by a buddy of mine who has since gone on. His name's Bruce. And so we do it in memory of him now. But he once provided me a hat from the Pierce County, Wisconsin Democratic Party. And he had been in charge of the design of the hat. And he was so proud because the donkey on the, and it just says Pierce County Democrats with an embroidered donkey on it. And he said, look, Bob, see, that donkey's got balls.
That donkey's got balls.
And you know, the donkey that's kicking. And yeah, he does. Bruce was so proud of that. I love that hat.
That's right. My donkey's got balls, not mine.
It's Jenny. I mean, right. Yeah. By the way, I'm being admonished by Darlene in Connecticut. Please leave hamsters out of this, Bob.
What did they do?
Yeah, right. Let's not whisper that into the universe's ear.
It's going to bite it. It's going to bite a bat head, then, guys. We'll do bats. How does that sound?
Well, I don't even have anything.
Rick. Hey, how you guys doing?
Maybe he could bite the head off a live cobra.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Why don't he bite the head off of Lindsey Graham?
A spitting cobra.
I just gripe in there and rip it off.
Because Lindsey would like that.
He probably would.
It would definitely arouse Lindsey. It would make his day.
Yeah.
Darlene gets a cowbell.
John.
Yeah, leave it. Leave hamster.
John, I've got a little bit of pushback. No, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
You get up there, and I know you're not a Trump fan by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no, baby.
Trump gets up there, like in Grand Rapids the other night, going on and on about how he's every, you know,
He's throwing red meat out there.
And a bag of chips. No, wait a minute. Here, you apply just a thimbleful of logic and common sense.
What's that?
He's rich, so why haven't we seen his taxes? He's smart. Well, why haven't we seen his grades? He's exonerated. Well, why haven't we seen the report? If I can figure this out.
No, Scott, you're just grasping at straws here. The man said all of those things. He's the greatest, the smartest, the stable genius. Why would anybody in the world not believe what that man is saying?
Oh, and by the way, courtesy of Irish Dave, this had to happen. Bob, quit telling us which rodent he's biting the head off of and shit.
Oh, man. See, there's always somebody out there that's going to, you know, don't tell me what head to bite off.
Oh, and
that's right, baby.
So Randy and PA mentioned something a little bit ago. The naked radio doesn't help things much either. Randy, how did you know? Because it is, in fact, north of 80 degrees here in the studio right now. And, you know, naked radio is the only way I can get through. That's another reason. That's what Randy was talking about. That's another reason there's no video here. The only place we could stream it live would be Pornhub, you know? I mean, so, right. Wait, Porn Hamster.
Porn Hamster.
See how the universe works?
It works. It comes back, you know.
Hey, I saw...
It comes around and whacks for you.
I just saw Tracy pop in. Hey, Tracy, what's up? Tracy is in here, isn't she?
I see her picture. She's probably ordering food. She's in another restaurant, Bob. Are you in a restaurant?
Food.
Oh, okay.
No. I am not ordering food. Whatever. No, I was actually vacuuming, and I'm like, I don't think they want to hear me vacuuming. But
well, I'd rather hear you going to the restaurant than vacuuming, dear.
I know. No, no. I just came home, and I'm like, ooh, dusty. And I just realized, I mean, because I'm not a house cleaner by any shape, form, or fashion. I think I told you guys, it took 3 months, so we laid laminate.
Yeah.
In the house. So, we got area rugs and stuff like that. So I was vacuuming, and I just realized on my vacuum cleaner, it has a hardwood floor setting. And I'm like, oh my God, that has saved me so much time, because if anybody's ever had hardwood floors, you know, you got to sweep, you got to dust. So now.
Well, here we go again. Tracy, are you there?
Or you could do what I do.
There you go. Okay, Tracy's back.
What can you
spray a little end dust? Spray a little end dust on Chirps the cat and chase her under all those hard to reach places.
That would involve me having a cat, and I don't do cats.
That's a thing that's not going to happen. Yes.
Oh well.
Yes, but
here I'm trying to give you a household tip.
I know. If, you know, how dare I? No, I, cats and I, nah. It's not that I don't, you know, I know you and Bob have cats. I don't trust cats. I think they come in and steal your soul in your sleep. And
there's 15 of them waiting every morning when I get up, Tracy. When we open the door, there's 15 cats out there staring at you, meowing. Meow, meow.
That's so, no, thank you. That's know what? I know you guys, does anybody watch the show? It's really cheesy, but it's called For the People. It's a new show from Shonda Rhimes. It was an episode about child, you know, the separation. His father goes into court. He's not here legally, whatever that means. And he's going to testify in federal court against this person. And he didn't get to testify because they didn't need him. And so as he's on his way out the courtroom, of course, he gets detained. And his son is outside waiting for him. But they don't know this. But anyway, so once they realize that he has a son, then they try to go after the son. And the court clerk, you know, tries to block it. And this young man who's a defense attorney, whatever, public defender, is, you know, he's an immigrant. He's like, my family's are immigrants, my father. And I'm like, he's like, I don't understand this America. And the Anna Deavere Smith plays the clerk. And she's like, you know, she said something that was so profound. And it didn't even dawn on me until she said this. She's like, America has been separating children from family since the beginning. When they would tear slave families apart. And I'm like, holy shit. Separating these children from their parents, from their families, is nothing new.
No, Tracy, I don't know if you heard it, but I caught it earlier this morning. Trump's little creature, what's her name, head of Homeland Security.
Oh, Kirsten, Kirsten, whatever.
Yeah.
The hell.
Yeah, she now says she wants the power. She wants the power to have ICE thugs just turn little unaccompanied children around at the border and shove them back into Mexico.
These people, what did I say? I can't even muster the energy to give a fuck, not let alone two at this point, because it's these people. I mean, but we're talking about the same people who were talking about, you know, cutting funds from Special Olympics, and only until people went completely off did they say, okay, well, no, I don't think so. I think this was just we're not going to be funding stuff. I mean, how evil do you have to be to fund the Special Olympics?
Donald Trump. That's evil.
Yeah, see, he never dreamed.
That's evil.
That little scumbag never dreamed that anybody, because he doesn't care about special needs kids or the Special Olympics. It never occurred to him that even the maggots would go, well, that's a pretty shitty thing to do.
Yeah, it came back and bit him on his ass.
But then he
lets you know exactly he does not know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, go, Tracy.
I was like, no, you were saying something. And I know my man John be so excited, but what were you saying?
Right. Well, just that he didn't realize how badly it would go over. So then he turned around and said, I've overruled my people. I've saved Special Olympics.
You know, I was reading that he did somebody said, well, he did it as a stunt just so he would get brownie points. But then somebody's like, he's not that smart.
No.
That he is not that smart that he would plot to say, okay, tell DeVos to go out there, you know, the queen of charter schools, to say, we're going to defund Special Olympics. And like it wasn't his idea in the first place. They don't do shit without without him saying, this is what we're going to do.
Just in the last day and a half or 2 days, he's rambled about setting up machine guns on the border. He's rambled about closing down the border.
Like, yeah, they turned down on the news.
Like Nixon did in 1969. Look up Operation Intercept on Google. Nixon already did it. The border was shut down, in effect, for 3 weeks over the stupid grabbing of people supposedly smuggling in dope. And after all was said and done, after 3 weeks, like 21 days, they had intercepted less dope in that time period than they otherwise would have. Okay?
Well, isn't it the same thing when they were trying to do, who was it, that Bush was trying to show about the drug buys?
In Lafayette Park, yeah.
And how long, it was like, you know, and they got one person or whatever and all this, and it was basically a setup?
Yeah, it was a deal where it was like a Bush aide went into Southwest Washington or whatever and bought some crack and took it to Lafayette Park in order to be met by another Bush aide who said that he bought it. Well, come on, people.
Well, oddly enough, you know, you mentioned we mentioned Special Olympics, and we were talking a little earlier about North Korea. There's a clip for that. Stand by, please.
Crossing the border next week, and that'll be just fine with me.
Mr. President, can you tell us why you overturned those North Korea-related sanctions?
I have a very good relationship with Kim Jong-un. He's somebody that I get along with very well. We understand each other. They are suffering greatly in North Korea. They're having a hard time in North Korea. And I just didn't think additional sanctions at this time were necessary. It doesn't mean I don't put them on later, but I didn't think that additional sanctions at this time were necessary. They are suffering greatly. They're having a very hard time in North Korea. And I think because of the relationship being a good thing, not a bad thing, I think it's very important that you maintain that relationship at least as long as you can. But we get along very well. We have a very good understanding. So I didn't think that those sanctions were necessary at this time.
Jesus. I'll close the border. That'll be fine with me. It's just, it's breathtaking. Just a key, now that we're coming up on the 8 p.m. hour here in the East, we have $50 to go on Darlene's challenge, and after that there's a $25 challenge from Mike in Cascadia. So a total of $75 in challenges still remain on the table, and if we knock out the 50, then we'll start on the 25, and we can actually finish the week a-okay and not be quite so, you know, sweaty. Going into April, so yeah.
Kick it up, people! It's the best thing you can do. Give Bob a hand, keeping him on the air and on the road. He's got to go to Washington, maybe. Yeah. He's not going there for his health.
Yeah, and it's going to be
not going for the cherry blossoms, are you, Bob?
No, Once upon a time, there was a little bit of excitement to all of this. Not so much anymore. It's just hard-ass work. So I've been running around. It's been a while since I went. And so we're trying to find the dress shirts and getting the suits together. Oh, boy, I get to live in a suit for a week. Yay. Not so much. But at least it's not going to be. I mean, you haven't lived until you've walked around D.C. in a dark blue or black suit when it's 90 degrees outside. There's just no way to be okay. But the way it's looking right now, according to the extended,
heat is oppressive.
Oh, it is. It is literally breathtaking. It's looking like next week is going to be anywhere from the low 50s to the mid 60s. So that's not going to be horrible.
Horrible.
No, that's
manageable. But I'm just not. You know, this is the guy who does naked radio. I'm not used to walking around in a business suit anymore. I used to wear them every day of my life. That was a long time ago. So, yeah, that. You know, the dress shoes. Yeah, my feet, by the end of the day, just because these dress shoes never broke in properly, they're going to feel like little meat balloons at the end of my legs. Not a lot of sympathy coming from Steve in New York. A suit in a week? Just be thankful it's not August. Exactly.
Yeah, because you get it from both sides. You get the D.C. humidity. Think of yourself in August in D.C. First of all, you've got, 85 degrees and like 90% humidity. So you got that going on while you're wearing your suit. And then in your not successfully broken in dress shoes on those hot D.C. pavements in August.
Oh, you can feel the heat of the pavement through the soles of your shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the reason I don't miss D.C.
It permeates in. Well, Bob.
Do I have time for a quick TV viewing tip, Bob?
I guess, yeah.
All right. The other night, I'm looking on YouTube for something else, and I love YouTube for this reason. You can be on there looking for something else, and you find something that's even better than what you had set out to look for. And I found it from November of 1958 on the CBS television network, the Westinghouse Desilu Playhouse, hosted by Desi Arnaz, a one-hour drama called The Time Element, starring William Bendix and Martin Balsam and Dwayne Hickman's brother, Daryl Hickman, I believe his name was. And it's
didn't know he had
guy.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hickmans.
Yeah, the Hickman brothers.
They're notorious, man.
Dwayne played Dobie Gillis, and I forget what shows or movies his brother was on. Daryl Hickman, I think, was his name. But William Bendix wakes up in Hawaii, but just the night before, he was in New York. And he figures he's tied one on. Turns out, as he's gaining his sensibilities, his senses, it's December 6th, 1941, not October of 1958.
And what's the name of this time? What, Scott?
The Time Element. And it's on YouTube.
Cool.
And that December 6th, 1941, the day before the day that we'll live.
Yeah, that was kind of, in a way, that was sort of the pilot to The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, they got something like 6,000 letters commending Rod Serling's screenplay and the acting, and CBS, it dawned upon them that there might be
a dollar in it.
A place on the schedule for an anthology show about shows like that. And that the next year we got The Twilight Zone. But if you watch nothing else this weekend, crank up your YouTube machine and watch The Time Element. And I'm telling you, I thought I knew where it was going. but I'm telling you, it has a twist or
it'll
two.
It'll bend your head, huh? Love that.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm going to watch it again this weekend to find out the clues that I missed, because I know they're in there. But Serling was a hell of a writer.
Oh, man.
The time element. Yeah. Look it up. Watch it. You'll thank me later.
Of course. Yeah.
And Robert in Australia lets us know, if you happen to have the Twilight Zone Blu-ray set, it's also on there.
Well, okay. One of the over-the-air sub-channels.
Nice.
I think it's Antenna TV. It's one of them. On Saturday or Sunday night at midnight, used to play the one-hour Twilight Zones. They went a season. I think it was the last season when the Twilight Zone had one-hour episodes. And some of those are great.
And, you know, Scott, some of them were on sound stages, like stages, like, you know, high school stages, and some were on sets. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I knew that a couple of Twilight Zone episodes were videotaped instead of filmed.
Right. They weren't at, like, Desilu Productions or anything. Some of them were, like, on an actual stage, like you were watching a play. And those were the hour-long ones. And then when they shrunk them to the half-hour ones, most of them went to sets.
Yeah. Well, I think they produced it at MGM.
Mm-hmm.
The MGM TV movie studio.
But it doesn't matter. They're all just mind-blowing, man.
And I didn't know this, Steve. Serling wrote, of all the episodes of The Twilight Zone, and it ran about four or five seasons, Rod Serling wrote like 90-some episodes. I hadn't realized that he had written that many.
Oh, yeah. He was a writing machine. Check out some of his stuff.
Irish Dave just mentioned that he also wrote the screenplay for the stunning movie 7 Days in May.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now there's a movie for today. I keep wondering where the generals are. Not that I want a military coup, but when are the adults going to step in? I mean, maybe we're not there yet, but...
Well, we're headed towards the beach, if we're not
another
careful.
One that Serling wrote was... Didn't he write Requiem for a Heavyweight?
Not sure.
I think he did, and he wrote... there was another... He wrote the screenplay for the original Planet of the Apes, I think.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I got awesome news at the beginning of the third hour. Both Darlene's challenge and Mike and Cascadia's challenge have been met. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
So thanks to Charlene in Rhode Island. A charter member of the sorority of Leans, and a
small state, big heart.
Yep, and also a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, and Jack in Shreveport as well. So thank you, Jack, and thank you, Charlene. That I cannot thank you enough. That takes a ton of pressure off of me in the morning. In fact. I guess about 9 o'clock in the morning, Enterprise will be here to pick me up, and I go get the rental for driving to D.C.
and take you to spring break. No, I'm joking, man.
I'm gonna go over to Ocean City, Maryland, and just like hang out and drink beer on the beach.
Yeah, we'll see his Instagrams of Bob and his just hanging out, man.
Yeah, maybe I'll just slide over to Rehoboth in Delaware, and me and Joe Biden can ride around in the T-top Trans Am.
Hey Bob, so you can go party with Uday Kuse.
Oh, you know it. Hey,
I will see you again on June 8th. Looks like
it does. I'm hoping we do.
Yeah, no pickle bomb, so, man.
No, I'm bringing pickle juice, damn straight. Quit, damn it, Steve, quit blaming the picklebacks, man.
I ain't been the same since. I've had a hangover for 6 months.
Well, I would, too, if I sat there and stuck a straw in a 1.75 of Crown Royal and went to town.
All right, enough of that. But
yeah, yeah. Retreat!
Mike's having another just a day flyer program for people like me that live close. So if you don't mind, I'll look you up on that date.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be offended if you didn't. Hey, Tracy, right, do you know about this?
I do. And I didn't know about it until you just mentioned it. But I'm going to be saving my travel dollars for my mom's 70th birthday in November. We're all meeting in New Orleans.
Ooh, good choice.
Nice. You know, so you know, you got to, you know, as much as I would like to. Well, you never know. What if I might win Lotto, and if I win Lotto, or
free,
know,
maybe we can smack it.
Well, I actually thought about it because you've got like family in Atlanta, right?
Oh yeah, my brother lives in Atlanta. I have my former sister-in-law lives in Atlanta. I have a sister that lives in Atlanta.
You're not far from Atlanta at all, or Chattanooga. Yeah. You know,
so yeah, no, we, I got folks, but hey, I have a question. Did anybody listen to today's, Democracy Now, on the radio this morning or watch the show? There's a Black History moment. Have you, Bob, or anybody, have you guys, I've never even heard of this, this person, but his name was Papa Renty. And apparently, this former Harvard professor, what's his name, Louis Agassi, went around because he was one of these people that was trying to use science to show that Black people were inferior.
Oh, of course.
To white people. I mean, so he went around taking pictures of slaves. And over the years, all these years, so 169 years, Harvard has been profiting from these pictures. So a woman by the name of Tamara Lanier of Connecticut that was her great-great-great-grandfather. And so she is suing Harvard to get those pictures back.
Ooh, good.
And as a matter of fact, I don't know if the link made it into the chat room, but the premise is that, because she has an attorney, of course, and the premise is that, you know, after the slaves were free, that Harvard had no right to continue to profit from these pictures. I mean, from understanding what I understand, these pictures have been in movies, on television shows, been on tour to the different museums and whatnot and so forth. And for 169 years that, you know, they have been using these pictures and profiting from them. And so she's like, the images of Renty and Dahlia, that was another descendant, were used in a recent Harvard conference titled Universities and Slavery, Bound by History. This comes after administrators of Harvard and other elite universities have admitted they were founded largely due to the labor of enslaved African people and profits generated by the slave trade. No shit. Really? Y'all just not realizing that?
Oh, I think they probably realized it a while ago, but just ixnay on the Odo's Fay.
Right. So right now, and apparently they did some big to do a year or so ago when they acknowledged, that they had slaves on campus in the living in the house where the president of the university lives. And they put a plaque and everything. And so the woman who is suing, that president at that time did this big flowery speech about, you know, we acknowledge these people and how much they put their work and they put into this and blah, blah, blah. But of course, she won't acknowledge this woman's claim on the fact that her ancestors were being used as, you know, more profit. And it's just, it kind of harkens back to me, you know, when the, you know, formerly, former Jews that were in concentration camps or who escaped from Nazi Germany found and saw their art in museums and whatnot and so forth, and what they had to go through to get their art back, you know, because it was stolen. And I don't care who, you know, I don't care who owns it now, it was stolen. Just like this man stole these people's images for, you know, just to show, prove that these, to their, you know, their, his mind that Black people are inferior. So he stole these people's images, and Harvard University has been profiting from them ever since. So is there a difference?
Well, and you know, so many of these old elite institutions have the same problem, Tracy. I'm reminded of when Georgetown came out and said, yeah, we sold a lot of slaves down the river, literally, to make enough money to keep the university open. So we're going to rename some dorms, and we're going to give preferential treatment at admissions. And then some wise-ass reporter said, yeah, you going to give the descendants any free educations? Oh, no. No, no, we're not going to do that in the name of Jesus. No, no. And there's a similar story. Everybody knows by now my fascination with Mesoamerican pre-Columbian cultures. I spend a lot of time thinking about what would have happened had they been left alone to evolve, you know, without the intervention of the colonialist Europeans. And this is actually, this is the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the first African slaves in North America's English colonies. It's the 500th anniversary, though, of the invasion of the Valley of Mexico by Hernan Cortes and the genocide that that flowed out of that. 500 years. Well, recently, the president of Mexico demanded an apology from Spain and the Pope. And
good for him.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, God knows you deserve one. And he gets on fairly well with the Spanish prime minister, but when it comes to apologizing for destroying an entire brilliant... Remember, Tenochtitlan, what is now Mexico City, was the most successful, ecologically sound, beautiful, populous city on planet Earth when Hernan Cortes first set eyes on it. And in a couple of years, they had reduced it to rubble. Well, there are a couple of stories. One, archaeologists think they may have found, for the first time ever, a burial of an Aztec revered speaker. The stupid for-profit multimillionaire media accounts referred to him as an Aztec king. Well, one, they didn't call themselves Aztecs, they called themselves Mexica. And two, he wasn't a king, he was more like a prime minister. Because he had a speaking council around him, and he was referred to as the revered speaker. And these things said, and they talked about the grave goods that were there, and a lot of them were dedicated to the rain god Tlaloc. And what they found out of it, what the news account said was, this probably has something to do with the value of rain to the society there. But no, the revered speaker in question, who reigned at the very height of that civilization, his name was Ahuitzotl. And I just happen to know, but apparently the folks who wrote that article didn't, Ahuitzotl means water monster. So necessarily, at his burial, he would have a lot of water motifs. So there was coral and seashells and the rain god stuff, and even a little boy who was a human sacrifice who was dressed up as some representation of water. But that's 500 years ago, and even 500 years later, when we know how awful it was, he says, Spain needs to apologize, and Spain goes, not going to do it. And the Vatican was just curiously silent. Oh, and by the way, this is a hell of a story. Comes out of Arizona, and I don't know why I'm echoing. Somebody's got feedback coming back at me. But there's a guy.
That might be Rick's office.
Check.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Sorry, Rick.
Day before yesterday, a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican member of the Arizona House of Representatives up and quit. It was just, you know, business as usual Wednesday. I've decided to resign. That's what David Stringer said. Last year, David Stringer said, among other things, there aren't enough white kids to go around in the public schools of Arizona. Nice guy. Well, I think we know now why he resigned. Because the Arizona House Ethics Committee today released a big treasure trove of documents about Representative David Stringer. Good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christian. And it turns out that back in September of 1983, because Republicans, police officers were informed by a little boy that David Stringer had met him and a friend in a park the previous year and said, why don't y'all come back to my house for some sex? And after he performed oral sex on the little boys, and they did the same to him, well, he gave them each a crisp new $10 bill. One of the little boys was developmentally disabled. And they went on to tell the police that they'd gone back to see Stringer at least 10 times where they performed either oral sex and or penetrative sex. Because, well, I guess now we understand why he thinks there aren't enough little white kids to go around in the public schools of Arizona now, don't we? Jesus, these people are sickening. I sure am glad they're the party of family values, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Manson family.
Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah. They sold their soul to the devil, baby. I mean, if you believe all that story, the whole thing, if you believe in holy shit, well, you got to believe in the devil and there's hell and the burning lake and all that shit. And, you know, religion, isn't it great, Bob?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's
fucking great.
It was so great that it was a lot like, it's a lot like when you're dropping cinder blocks on your foot, John.
Yeah, yeah. Just take a good aim. Do you see that story?
It feels so good when you stop.
Yeah, they don't stop though, Bob. I don't know. They're into it, I guess. Do you see
I've got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Scott. No, Bob. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, all right. In your internet travels in the last 24 hours, Bob or anybody. Did you see a story? Because I saw it, but I didn't read it. Now I can't find it. In Pennsylvania, apparently, several of the Democratic contenders for 2020 are beating Trump in the polls in Pennsylvania.
Oh, his numbers in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin, those three states that made such a difference in 16, his numbers are in the toilet. I mean, I think Jill Stein might even be able to beat him in Pennsylvania.
No, let's not bring Jill.
Yeah, let's not start talking dirty. I know.
Run, Jill, run. Come on. Let's go for it, Jill.
No, because if she goes to Pennsylvania, she'll wind up in Idaho. And, well, it was so embarrassing the last time.
And just to impart a little bit of hope for 2020, for the people who don't know this, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, Trump's victory, in quotes, only amounted to 77,000 votes in those three states total. 77,000 votes.
Yeah, that's what made now, that's what made so crazy the number of people who voted for Jill Stein.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot more than 77,000.
And it's like, you know, we lost one that was a gimme. I mean, it's crazy, people.
It's what kills us every freaking time. We got to pick a third or a fourth guy. Let's have three. We need an independent. We need a green. We need everything out there. Let's dilute the left so much that when the right votes, they only vote for one. That's it. Well, they don't have a number two.
And who do they have in mind? There for about a week, Howard Schultz was supposedly the grand savior of all humanity and the future.
What's happened to him, guys? I haven't heard about him.
He's got an apron on. He's behind the counter.
Well, he went back to burning coffee beans.
Yeah, he's a regular old guy. Walk in there at Starbucks, he'll probably be the one serving you.
Well, I'm drinking pizza, by the way, right now. So fuck Starbucks.
Well, yeah,
I had to load up on decaf K cups today because that's what we're going to have while we're traveling. So. I've got Newman's Own decaf, the Kroger 100% Colombian Swiss water processed decaf K cups were nowhere to be found. It bummed me out. So I'm trying Newman's Own, Folgers, and
Bob. You'll probably pass 10,000 Krogers between here and where you're going. So
yeah, but once I get going, I don't like to stop.
You're not a bladder buster, are you? I am.
You better hand
me one of them urinals in, or I'll be peeing all over your floor, man.
Yeah, don't think I'm pulling in at the rest area. I'm turning on the flashers. Just get out and there you go. We got to go. Let's go.
Or hand me a beer bottle.
Be careful,
Steve.
You're giving yourself a nickname, Steve. Be careful there.
And by the way, it was just too much for Steve in New York to resist. Subject line, Jill Stein. After Pennsylvania, she'll be wondering where Eraservania is.
Where is Vania?
Yeah. Go. Pencil, eraser, see what he did. And by the way, had a note from Alma a few minutes ago. Alma said, so glad you got all the donations right before the trip. I am curious, and I think, who was it? Was it you, Steve, a few minutes ago? I'm curious about the comment about the adults coming forward. What adults are left to come to our aid? Alma asks. Anybody want to take
that
one?
Well, it
was me. Oh, it was you, Scott. Okay.
Well, I was the one who brought it up, and it's like, you know, you could take a child, like your average 10 or 12 year old kid, and let him sit and listen to the pronouncements of Trump or Trump's supporters or apologists or explainers or defenders, you know, let the kids sit for 10 hours and watch a compilation of video highlights. And a 10 or 12 year old kid could tell you that there's something definitely wrong with this man and anyone who thinks that he's A-okay in their book.
I was so proud last night. We went live, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursday, Bob, I go live.
Yep.
I missed it
last night.
Oh, that's all right, brother. That's all right. We're there. Now we're going into a Sunday, Tuesday.
I had an early Wednesday doctor's thing. Appointment, or I would have been there, bro.
Anyway, but last night on the show, Chris Kloss was on there. Chris is a big Blue Dot family member. He's the guy that provided us with that 12-channel mixer.
Wow.
That we could do. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. The guy that sent me all the honey I brag about. That guy.
And
his daughter is 17 years old, Bear, and she was on the show last night. I'm so impressed with what she knew, her interest in everything that's going on. My son, Travis, who is now 26 or 27 now, he has a friend of his named Abby. She's about 23. She's going to be joining us on the show. I'm trying to get a few younger voices in there. because, yeah, you know.
That's good.
Well,
we need to stay on one team, baby.
That's so important, John, because something I've talked about at considerable length is one of our failings is the failure to transmit what I call transgenerational wisdom. You'll notice that the Republicans only finally worked up their courage to go after Social Security after the first generation to get it died.
Yeah. Are the younger generations now, when they say Social Security, they don't think, you know, it's not an understanding of what the system is.
But you can't wrap your head around it.
I'm not saying that they don't understand. I'm just saying that, you know, it's so far in the future, it's not in their
plan. They don't believe it.
They don't believe it will be there when they get our age.
Exactly. When I was 18, I never thought I'd see 55. He's like, yeah, that's a joke, man.
I was 66 now, and I try to tell people, everybody my age, is to try to remember where you are now is where you were when. And that's why I refer to when as being the time in our lives when we were young and Watergate was going on, Vietnam was going on, there were changes.
It happened so fast.
It happened, baby, because the youth of the nations stood up. And it brought us the things like the EPA and social benefit, and now all of that is under attack, and us, you know, us baby boomers and stuff, we're not going to be able to do it. We have to we have to remind those young that their voice is the most important voice because they're, you know, this is the world that they're going to live in. Uh-huh. Here we are,
well,
baby.
I commend you, you, John, for having young voices on the show. And the other night I was saying just this thing. Kids today, under 30, are some of the sharpest people that you're ever going to meet. They know what the deal is, and their bullshit detectors are finely tuned.
Yeah,
their flags will go
off. This young lady was very interested in the environment.
Yeah, you can't bullshit a millennial.
No, can't, baby. They can look around and see what's happening. No,
they know what the fuck's going on, which
the thing
is
they have
a good
to learn
thing, man.
Is the extent of the damage that Scott Pruitt did, Donnie the Dick did, in the EPA. And you're not going to see the result of that for many years if we don't correct that.
I don't think they're putting it into perspective, John. That's just my take on it.
Yeah, well, it's that. I've always been under the understanding that everybody I meet, no matter how old they are or how young they are, I can learn a little something from them. And if we don't take the time to do that, either, like Bob was just relying to teach our children, that's how come I always say you're never going to get rid of racism or anything like that, because some cockroaches out there is going to teach that to his kid.
Well, I just wonder if the future for our country is Parkland or that group of Kentucky kids. I hear stories about erring youth, and then I hear heartwarming stories about kids doing wonderful, great, compassionate things. Who's going to win that war? I have no idea.
Well, it's whichever ones feel more determined and more motivated. And right now, there's a lot of kids who know more about climate change than probably the entire Republican Party put together, especially Mike Lee of Utah, and they are motivated.
Yeah. And Inhofe,
that asshole. Yeah.
Hey, I want to loop back to the topic Tracy brought up. Are you still there, Tracy?
Yeah, circle back.
The Harvard photograph. Yeah, the Harvard photograph.
I needed to say something to Tracy anyhow before we check out. You know,
the Harvard photograph lawsuit. Now this just kind of made my gut flop. Jimmy wrote in a minute ago and said, I heard about that last week. Get this. I think Ken Burns used those pics in the Civil War documentary.
Oh,
now you want to talk about making some money.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that the lawyer was talking about, that these images were in, I don't know if it was the first roots or the second roots. Like I said, I sent a link to the chat on Skype, and I have seen that image on different TV shows, in books, and you know what I'm saying. So it's you know, like you said, Ken Burns.
How many people?
Well, I'm surprised that they're still in the hands of Harvard and not like Getty Images or what's that other big concern? I think it's connected to Microsoft or a division of Microsoft where images are all, you can't use them without paying a fee.
Yeah, they're copyrighted. Yep.
Getty is one of them. Yep. And I forget what the other one is. There's another big one.
I'm talking about corporate welfare. Yeah. That's serious corporate welfare there.
And I just saw the picture. I now know exactly who Papa Renty is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the same one that they took pictures of his back as well? And it's just a series of scars.
Yeah, the scars on the back.
One.
Yeah,
I do not know, but because I don't remember ever seeing that person's face. I only remember seeing the scars on his back.
Well, so, if it's the person I'm thinking of, he's a very dark skinned black gentleman, very old, very wrinkled. His face tells a story. In other words.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it in my mind's eye, and I could probably pull it up on.
Scott, on the other, are you on Skype or are you on?
Yeah. I was going to look on the chat and get that link, because they were talking about this on Vice News tonight on HBO this week or last week, and also on the PBS NewsHour. This is a big story.
It's huge. But you know what pissed me off? Because Louis Gates, he's a professor at Harvard, right?
Yeah, Henry Louis Gates.
Henry Louis Gates. Well, yeah, because they contacted Henry Louis Gates. Crickets. He has not said boo about the situation, which is some bullshit, considering that his big thing now is his thing with where are you from? All the genealogy stuff.
Your roots,
You know, and how dare he, when somebody is a direct descendant of this man, not have anything to say about it? You know, but you know, the cat, you know, got to cash those checks. You can't bite the hand that feeds you.
Tracy, may I grab your attention for a minute?
Sure.
Yeah, the recommendation for the act, you hit that out of the park.
Isn't that shit creepy?
Creepy as hell. I mean, who could think that there's so much evil in somebody's heart? I mean, I know better. Of course I should know better, but my gosh. I mean,
I told you it was another white people gone wild.
Gone totally fucking wild, yeah. And it's only up to the fourth episode now, and we've been watching the third.
This is Wednesday's episode, was the third episode. And I don't know how many episodes.
Fourth is coming.
Is it like eight episodes or?
I don't know. We have been glued to the TV watching that thing, and they come out every Wednesday. Just wanted to thank you for the recommendation.
What kills, you know, we're so spoiled with like Netflix, so used to when they release a series that all the episodes come out at one time.
Yep.
And I'm like, wait a minute, you mean I gotta wait?
Yeah, a week? Are you kidding? And Tracy, there's one on Netflix, another one, white people going wild. It's called You, just plain old YOU. Check that out.
Is that the stalker one?
Yeah, that's the stalker one. That is creepy as hell, man.
No, where's this thing, The Act? What is that on?
It's on
Hulu. Yep.
Oh, I don't have Hulu.
Hulu, I don't have that, yeah. Hmm.
But man, that is just, it's captivating. You can't wait for next Wednesday to roll around so you can see what the hell is going to happen.
So we got four more episodes, Steve, because I guess there's only eight episodes. Yep.
Unless they do a season two, you know, which is very possible if it's profitable.
What I'm looking at is the pictures of that they have the stills on IMDb, and it looks like it's only going to go to, because there's not much more to the story. After a while,
it just runs out. I mean, what can you do? Right.
They show her in the orange.
You can do a prequel, I guess.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars.
And The Sopranos, they got a prequel movie coming out. So, yeah, I guess
that's what I heard.
They got a prequel of Game of Thrones coming, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, you know, it's called lack of originality. They figure they have something successful, so why not, like, redo it with a couple of tweaks and, you know, change the timeline. And
over
you know.
And over. Well, is Bob, the new Star Trek worth checking out? Has anyone
I heard
seen
it's
that?
Pretty good.
We're enjoying it. I'm finally watching it, yeah.
This is the one on CBS All Access?
Yeah. I'm okay, Bob, for that, Bob.
Hey, speaking
what's
of
that,
Star Trek,
wait,
I...
Tracy, what'd you say?
You have CBS All Access?
Yes.
Okay, just do me a favor. I mean, I know you don't watch stuff like this, but The Good Fight?
No, actually, I saw a promo for that, and I'm intrigued.
Dude, you have... Christine Baranski, and you got Christine Baranski and Delroy Lindo, dude. I mean, you can't really, just Delroy Lindo, you know, just him. And the fact that they, you know, because see, what I love about the show is like our show, you know, like your show, they cuss. And you have never heard, the very first episode, this show is definitely anti-Trump, up, down, sideways, left and right. As a matter of fact, when they did the show, they did the show on the premise basically that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election. So when she lost the election, they had to redo the whole show. Diane,
that was a costly bet for them.
Well, they have been writing it. I don't know if they had actually shot the show, but they had, you know, they had to change the whole premise of the show. But the very first episode, Christine Baranski's character has decided that she's going to, you know, she's watching the election returns, and she's like, she sits in her house, and she's like, what the fuck? And it goes from there. And so she decides that she's going to, you know, quit her job. She's tired of America. I'm done. I'm moving to France. Unfortunately for her, her money that she had invested for all the years that she was working was with her dear, dear, close personal friend. As a matter of fact, her goddaughter, she got her a job at her law firm, blah, blah, blah. Come to find out that this guy was another Bernie Madoff. So now she is broke. She's quit her firm. Her firm won't rehire her. So she has to go work for another firm, which is an African American firm in Chicago.
Oh, that sounds really cool.
Oh, Bob. I mean, and this is his third season. So I think, and it's political, and it's just funny as hell, there's just a lot of stuff that goes on in it that I think you appreciate. I think you and Agnes would really love to binge it because that's the new season, just season three just started. I think this coming Wednesday.
We were watching Star Trek the other night, and they ran a promo because I'm too cheap to buy the no advertisements version of CBS All Access.
I don't blame you.
And they ran a promo for it, and I went, that looks actually pretty damn good.
I think I really think you would like it. I really, really. And the acting, I mean, even if you never watched the show The Good Wife, which was on CBS for years, because basically The Good Wife, this is a spinoff of The Good Wife, but only on the first episode there's some characters that cross over from The Good Wife to this show, but for the most part, you don't even have to know the background of The Good Wife, really, to watch this show. Even if you never watched The Good, because they give you enough, in the first episode, I think they give you enough background on who Christine Baranski's character is, that you would say, okay. You know, but, they have, the way they talk about Trump on this show, and how they, you know, there's episodes when they're trying to get the law firm to represent the Obamas to build the museum, President Obama's presidential museum. I mean, it's just, everything is topical, police brutality, why, it's just, like I said, it's one of the few things, because I don't have, I only watch through CBS All Access just to watch The Good Fight. And once the season is over, I'm done. But yeah, since you pay for it, I definitely go for it. Dude,
hey, that sounds intriguing. Hey, can I say something real quick, guys?
Yeah, jump in. No. Jump in, Bill Ulrich.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking on Netflix for the pilot to Star Trek called The Cage, and I'm not sure if I found it or not. I think it's what I found, though, instead was the original series, the first three seasons.
Well, yeah, and The Cage is the first one in season
the first
one.
Episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We talked about that last week, right? Yeah.
And then the captain changes to Kirk. But anyway, I'm watching it with my 24-year-old son. So that's pretty cool.
I watched it last week, Bob and Rick, The Cage. I had never seen it.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I meant to ask you guys about that. How is it that the lone black woman in this group has seen that episode a million times and none of y'all motherfuckers ever saw it?
You're just a better.
I remember seeing it.
You're just a better Trekkie, Tracy.
I'm not even a Trekkie. I mean, I enjoy Star Trek. I can't name episodes, you know, other than the Trouble with Tribbles and stuff like that. I mean, seriously, I don't know, you know, what episode this and what year and all that. My fondest memory of Star Trek is when I would go visit my dad, because my dad was hugely into sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek, and stuff like that. And we would sit and watch it together. And plus, it premiered the year I was born. So, you know, it's that. But I mean, and I think I've seen, you know, because like after what was the Star Trek: The Next Generation? I watched all those episodes. But I don't think I watched anything after that. Like, what is it?
Deep Space Nine, Next Generation.
The Next Generation. Well, you know, I didn't watch.
To answer your question, Tracy, I knew of The Cage because they used scenes from it in that two-part Star Trek episode, The Menagerie.
Right.
So I knew the background that it was the original pilot, but somehow I had never watched the full episode, The Cage, the pilot show, The Cage.
There's no explanation as to why Pike is no longer the captain after the first episode. Like the second one then is called Man Cage with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and Dr. McCoy, you know, and Uhuru, and Sulu even made an appearance.
But see, here's the thing, you got, because before what I understand, the first one was came out 2 years before.
The Cage is 1964.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the Man Trap was the second one.
Why do I even know this? But for, you know, but anybody that watches television as much as I do, and you know, when you watch a pilot, remember, it is a pilot, and a lot of times on the second episode of the show they may keep one person or maybe two people from the original pilot, and then they retool and put other people in. Happens with it, because there's a couple of shows that I've watched, and I'm like, they show the pilot, and then I'm like, and then the next episode they've changed not the whole premise of the show, but they definitely changed things around, because you know, for one, I guess they put the shows from the test audiences, and maybe it didn't work. They didn't like that particular person or what have you.
Maybe Pike was under contract for another assignment.
From what I read, and again, why do I even know this? This is the kind of stuff I'm like, that I've been hanging around white people too long.
How's the mayonnaise eating wine, Tracy?
Shut up. You know what, Rick? Kiss my ass on that. As a matter of fact, I had a hamburger the other day and they had mayonnaise on it, and I was so mad because it was so good. I'm like, God damn it.
Wait. No. I want clarity here. I mean, it'd be great if Clarity was here.
Clarity, where are you?
But are you saying the burger was good except for the mayonnaise, or are you saying the burger was good with the mayonnaise?
Because of the mayonnaise.
You know, you're putting words in my mouth, Bob. Don't be telling me how to put, you know, you're how to
converted.
Eat mayonnaise. No, I'm not
you're converted,
Tracy.
We're going to make you an honorary white person now, Tracy.
Can't have a burger again without mayonnaise? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I can definitely have a burger without mayonnaise. It's not. It hasn't gotten that deep yet. It's not that serious. I can
but
have
was,
a burger.
But it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Whatever. But see, the problem is.
Oh, wait a minute! No. You don't get to do that. Whatever.
I have a point of contention about the mayonnaise. Because, see, I don't mind the mayonnaise, but, see, I cannot stand it when they slather the mayonnaise.
Oh, and it drips all over the place? Hell no. It's to be used sparingly.
See, that's my problem. People, you know, and I'm very clear, like, when I go to have, you know, drive-thrus or whatever, and I'm like, what comes on a burger? And they tell me, I'm like, okay, can you be light on the condiments? I mean, that's even with the ketchup, with the mustard, whatever. Because it's just to enhance, not to, you know, drown it. Because like you said, I can't stand it when I bite into a burger and anything oozes out. I just can't stand that. Unless it's chili. Chili's allowed to ooze out.
Oh, okay.
There's an exception. When it's chili... is fine. You know,
there is
an
old pool hall that's been in my hometown. There's an old pool hall that's probably dinosaurs probably played pool in this pool hall. And they've got, you know, the old school grill behind the counter and all of that. And they do a chili cheeseburger there. You know, they patty the burgers out by hand. It's none of this frozen shit from food service. And they make their own chili. And their chili cheeseburger is the sloppiest damn thing you've ever eaten and quite possibly the most delicious. And it's,
I think I want to make chili for dinner tonight.
Ooh. Too late for me to get there.
damn.
But it can perk things up. But now that we've moved into fast food, you remember the story, our buddy Texas T shared it with us about... San Antonio refusing that Hate Filet franchise in the airport. The Republicans and the Evilgelicals have fired up the Wambulance to 11, and now Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is investigating the city of San Antonio for violating the First Amendment rights. Of Chick-fil-A.
Get the Texas Rangers on the case, right? Get the Texas Rangers on the case. They got nothing better to do.
What the fuck? Well, you know, the attorney general is crazy enough to do the investigation of that thing. So
because a fundamentalist corporation has a First Amendment right to sell chicken in the airport in San Antonio. Jesus Christ.
Fuck off. You know, if the people of San Antonio don't want it, then, you know, then let them not have it, you know?
Get them out of there.
Why waste the shit on them?
I'm pretty sure there's enough Chick-fil-A's in San Antonio that, you know, have you ever gone to a Chick-fil-A in an airport? It's horrible. And it's overpriced. So it's like, you know, it's not that serious. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of Chick-fil-A's all over Texas.
Well, wait till you hear the shark jumping over the top language that Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton used writing to the city council in San Antonio. The Constitution's protection of religious liberty is somehow even better than Chick-fil-A's chicken. Unfortunately, I have serious concerns that both are under assault at the San Antonio airport.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking bullshit.
Do they have some lumber we can give them? Do you have any lumber to give them so they can nail themselves right to the cross there?
I think we should give all these evilgelicals pogo sticks so they can save us all a lot of time.
Of over-the-top outrage, Rahm Emanuel and his blathering about Jussie Smollett going on and on about how he's outraged and stuff. If you want to do some outrage there, Rahm, about stuff going on in Chicago, how about the police breaking in on a 4-year-old's birthday party, looking for somebody that didn't live there for 5 years?
Well, or how about the $70+ million or so that the city of Chicago has paid out for police violations of civil rights during the time that Rahm has been mayor? How about that?
Okay.
I mean, the Joe and Mika and Rahm and all these pontificating pearl clutchers and hand wringers have really picked a stupid hill to die on.
Seriously. I want him to pay the money back. I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't care. You know, he was, like they said, he wasn't exonerated. The charges were just dropped. So, whatever. Bottom line is, it's done. Unless they're going to bring more charges. I mean, Rick, can they bring further charges? Yes, they can.
Unless it's dismissed with prejudice, as long as there's time left on the statute of limitations, charges could be brought. I know there's talk about the FBI doing some kind of investigation or...
That's Trump calling for the FBI to do an investigation.
You know, federal nexus, like mail fraud, wire fraud, that kind of thing.
Well, but Tracy, he's growing. At least he's not calling for him to be executed like he did with the Central Park Five, even though they were innocent.
Right.
Well, I don't want to leave fast food without mentioning a recommendation for Bob, since he'll be in our nation's capital. And yes. I want you to go there for lunch one of the days that you're there, and I want a full report on what you thought of it. One thing I do miss about the D.C. area is this little chain. Back when I lived there, they used to have like a dozen of them all over the D.C. and suburbs, a place called Ollie's Trolley. Have you ever had a hamburger from Ollie's Trolley, Bob?
No, but I think I if they still exist, for some reason or another, that just seems familiar.
Well, the one that I know of that's still there, and I'm looking at the map now, it looks to be at 12th and E Northwest. So you'll be right close to it. Go on down to Ollie's Trolley and have yourself one of their cheeseburgers and have yourself some of their fries. And I want to hear what you think of them. I wish they had them out here because they are unique in terms of the, I don't know whether it's the spices that they use in the making of the burger, and they use like Swiss cheese or something instead of American cheese, and the fries will take you home. The fries, there's something.
Well, if I get like, if I get anywhere near 12th and E, yeah. I will.
Well, definitely check it out, because I would like to hear what you think of Ollie's Trolley and their cheeseburger and their fries.
And, Bob, while I have your attention, if you get in trouble, you know who to call if something goes sideways, man. No, seriously, no, I've always got mad money put away. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Steve's not kidding.
Something you mean?
Steve's not kidding. Steve's got a bail Bob a bail Bob out fund squirreled away in case run across a pro coal Republican or something.
When you're you know 700 miles away from home, anything can happen. It's always good to have a friend to back you up. You know.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I mean that, Bob. Seriously.
Yeah. What's that, Chris?
Yeah, you got to be careful in the federal zone. You never know what's going to happen.
It's too early for naked lobbying.
You guys.
Yeah, no, there will be no naked lobbying. No, there will not.
Shit can go easily sideways. I've seen it.
Cannabis is legal in D.C., but Rick said about the federal zone, it's kind of nebulous. So it's not legal in the federal zone, but it's legal in the district.
That's interesting.
Right. So be sure to make sure you don't have anything funny in your briefcase, Bob, as you're entering, going through security, you know?
You know, it's such a pain in the ass going into these buildings. I learned a long time ago that you only carry the bare essentials.
Exactly. And wear slip-on shoes, too. So you don't have to untie your shoes, retie them.
They don't make you do. They don't make you. They don't make you do the shoes.
And they don't. And
I always wear suspenders, so I don't have to take off my belt and have my pants fall down.
Well, do they ever take you to suspenders? Jeez, then you are talking about naked lobbying, Bob.
God, there's the visual, man.
Oh, I looked at a TSA guy in the airport one day. I said, "Man, if I take this belt down, there's gonna be a pants down incident." He goes, "Go on."
He was probably bored.
See, you don't want that, man.
Now, would you say there will be a bad moon rising, Bob?
Hmm? Oh, oh, God. Fucking double moon rising.
Hey, guys, can I jump in with one quick recommendation?
Dude, sure, please.
I'm not sure how many of you listen to Sam Cedar's show, Majority Report.
I do.
Today was a classic. Ben Dixon was on. Judy Gold was on.
Thanks, man.
And if this week has been tough on us from the Mueller report standpoint, right?
Yeah.
This will help you ease back into the weekend on a high note and feel good. So if you want to, tune into that. They're both on fire. Ben Dixon and Judy Gold were the guests, and they were great.
Well, hey, speaking of high notes, guys.
Well, Sam does great work.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of high notes, guys, I decided I'm going to go to see Rick Springfield at a small theater in Beverly Hills tomorrow. So
the Saban Theater, Rick?
Yeah, the Saban. He's backed up by a full orchestra. It's going to be pretty interesting. Yeah.
Speaking of, I'm actually doing something fun this weekend.
Why is Risk so overmodulated? Does anybody care? Duncan's gone. I guess Duck would have to.
I'm going.
Go, Tracy.
The school that we drive for, the help group, they're having their fundraiser.
Good.
And it's a comedy show. And guess who one of the headliners is? Wanda Sykes.
Love me some Wanda Sykes. She's hilarious, man.
Just her.
That's a very good cause as well, for sure. Help group.
Just her alone is worth. I think the tickets were $85. But just her. Here's Wanda Sykes, George Lopez, Billy Garrity, the guy that was on Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
Okay.
What the big guy, the cop?
Yeah, the cop.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to be there. And there's some other people. Oh, I think Louis Anderson.
Nice.
I mean, we're going to be at the, So it's Kevin. Let's see. Sherry Shepherd, Louis Anderson, George Lopez, Wanda Sykes, Billy Gardell, Kevin Nealon.
Oh, Kevin, somebody,
it's named Tammy Pescatilli.
Yes. Where's this going to be at?
See? At the El Porto Theater on Sunday in North Hollywood. Yeah.
Okay.
And it starts at 5 o'clock. And, like I said, just the fact, I mean, Wanda Sykes. I mean, and they're saying it's supposed to be 3 hours. But
she could crack you up on her own, and she
knows that she's awesome. I sent him of her when she had when she's talking about getting the body
getting
wax.
Her wax. Man. Yes.
Ooh. Oh my God! When she talks about her, she got her ass waxed, and it's like when she got the ass waxed, it was like her asshole got ripped off, and her asshole was really so ready. And she's like. Run, asshole!
Oh, run!
Oh, my God.
Get on out of here.
Oh, my God. It brought tears to my eyes. It was so fun. When I sent you that clip, Bob, were you having, like, a bad day? And then I sent you
I was. There was something had gone sideways. And that, because I was helpless. I was just helpless.
Because I couldn't breathe. You're laughing so hard.
Well, I was going to suggest between George Lopez and Wanda Sykes, if it was me, I would be tempted to invest in a package of Depends Just make sure that I didn't, you know, ruin the seating or anything.
Right. Because I said, for $85, I mean, the tickets go from $85 to $185, but I'm thinking, like I said, just Wanda Sykes and George Lopez. I'm in heaven. Because George Lopez is funny as hell. Have you guys ever heard him talk about how he's a black Mexican? You know, because he means it literally, because he's like, I know I have black blood in me because of where I'm from in Mexico. His family is from in Mexico, that there were black people in Mexico. And he talks about this. So it's like, this is why I love George Lopez and I love Wanda Sykes, especially when she went off, when Kevin Spacey tried to say the reason why he was molesting young men was because, you know, I'm gay. And what did she say? Don't come out under our rainbow. You know, don't go there, brother. Don't try to use that as an excuse for being, you know, the reason why you were molesting young men is because you're gay. Fuck you on that one.
Mm.
You know, double fuck you on that one, because people have always said that is, when it comes to pedophiles and men molesting young boys, they always say it's always gay men, and the majority of the people, especially, who were you talking about that was paying young men?
The Arizona legislator.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I'm pretty sure he identifies as a straight white male.
Yes.
Fuck you.
Well, look at Kevin Spacey. Look what he did. You know,
that's what Wanda Sykes was saying. No, that's what she said. Yeah. She's like, don't you dare use being gay as an excuse.
That's crazy.
That's when he quote unquote came out. And I don't care what anybody says. I knew Kevin Spacey was gay before Kevin Spacey knew he was gay. It's just, you know, I've always known he was gay. Everybody knew Kevin Spacey was gay, but he didn't want to admit that he was gay. And now, you know, once he gets busted for, you know, sexual, you know, harassment and whatnot, so forth, oh, all of a sudden now he's gay. Fuck you.
Yeah, I think most of us already knew that, Tracy. I certainly did.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he's a hell of an actor. It broke my heart, what he was accused of, because he was like one of my favorite actors. As a matter of fact, I even think he went to my high school. I think he did go to Chatsworth. He went to Chatsworth, or he went to LA Valley College, one of those two, if not both. And I'm like, oh, dude. And I've loved him since, I think, the first movie that I ever saw him in was The Usual Suspects.
See, okay. That's one of the things that I hate about all of that is that it's ruined The Usual Suspects for me, because that is one of my favorite freaking movies.
Oh, Kaiser Soze. It's like that movie was the shit.
I loved House of Cards.
Yeah, and The Usual Suspects, I'm still not entirely sure that I even understand it. I don't know. I don't know if half the shit in that movie actually happened.
Right.
Well, another good one that he was in was American Beauty.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
What he won his Oscar for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Yeah. And all the time I've been calling into this program, have you ever heard me talk about going out somewhere to see an entertainer? No.
No.
Save you time.
I thought you were a hermit.
Well, I'm looking on the calendar.
Oh my God!
I happen to see one of my favorite entertainers, Mark Maron, is going to be in San Diego in April.
Who's Mark Maron? Why does that sound familiar?
He was on Air America when it first started. And he's got a podcast called What the Fuck, WTF.
That's why I heard of him.
Yeah. And I love Mark Maron. If you ever, on either Netflix or Amazon Prime, look at a couple of his hour-long specials. Funny guy.
Is he the guy that plays the coach on Glow?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's why I heard his name. Okay. Yeah.
And did he have a special? Did he have a show on IFC, Scott?
Yeah, he had. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
And talking about it, you know, talking about the bum out with Kevin Spacey, and you mentioned American Beauty. You know, I even used to have this clip tucked away just because it used to come in so handy.
I rule.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, it raises an interesting point. What do you do when someone you like is caught up in a reprehensible scandal. It's like Woody Allen. I, for as long as I can remember, have loved his movies. Not all of them, but most of them. And now I don't know. I mean, they're still great movies.
If the scandal itself is reprehensible, you got to turn your back on them. I mean, what else can you do?
I grew up watching Albert every day after school.
Okay, I mean, Bill Cosby, do you know how that slayed me? It was, you know, it's like this whole thing with Michael Jackson. And I have a shit ton of Michael Jackson on my, you know, in my iTunes. And it's just, I was telling my girl, a friend of mine, I said, I can give a fuck about R. Kelly. I, you know, whatever. I stopped dealing with his ass 20 years ago.
Tracy, would you say piss on R. Kelly or piss is that going too far?
He might like it, Scott. That's the problem.
Well, maybe crap on him then. He won't like that.
No. Who knows? Man, weirdo.
Golden showers.
You know? But it's like, it's those things. It's like it's like I keep praying and praying and praying that nobody comes up 10 years from now or whatever and starts talking shit about Prince. Because we all knew Prince was a freak. But I guarantee you, I don't think Prince ever messed with little kids. Everything that he did was with consenting adults.
No, but, and you know what? Leaving Neverland painted a damning picture.
It did. But see, here's the problem that I have, and I've always had with these, with R. Kelly, like with Surviving R. Kelly, with Abducted in Plain Sight, and now I'm Leaving Neverland. These fucking parents. Now, because
there's that.
The ultimate enablers. Yeah, they were seeing dollar signs, you know.
How do you let your child, you're in a hotel, and your underage child, you're on one floor, your child is in his own room on another floor, and they say, we couldn't get here a room for you on the same floor. Fuck that. My son is sleeping in the same room with me. Because when Alex and I would travel, he didn't have his own room.
When
he was over 21, then he shared a room. Well, because I was paying, and he wasn't paying.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Jeebus. He's coming back to my room, you know.
It's like, how do you let your child, and how do you let a grown-ass man come to your house and spend the night again? It's just like...
I think you have to have rocks in your head to do that, Tracy.
Yeah, that's
dollar
like...
signs in your eyes.
That's like one of my favorite classic Christian children's hymns. Goes a little like this. Jesus loves the little children. You're not Jesus. Get your hands off my kid.
Right. It's like, I'm sorry. It's like, I just, you know, I was telling a friend of mine about how when, you know, Alex, you know, I'm a single mom and a lot of times we went places. I'm trying to figure out how old Alex was before I finally let him go to the bathroom by himself because he used to come into the bathroom with me.
Oh, that took a long time in our family.
A long time. And like when he would go to, you know, when he was finally too old to go to the women's bathroom with me, then I would be outside the door with, you know, when he went into the men's bathroom because I'm like, I'm not moving from this door. And if he took too long, I would go in.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. No. Yeah.
Well, to answer your question, Tracy, with these parents and the Michael Jackson case, they see people, well, it's human nature. People see what they want to see. Denial is a very easy thing to be in when you're in a case like that. Because you see, I don't know that they saw dollar signs, but they were starstruck.
Upton Sinclair, way back when he ran for governor of California. A billion years ago, it's hard to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it.
And I think that explains the Trump phenomenon. And
Michael Jackson too.
The thing is,
dollar signs.
In the case of Trump, there will come a tipping point. Mark my words, and we've seen a few little glimmers of it. There will come a tipping point, I think, when the people whose grip on power depends on stepping away from him, because there will come a time when he is going to say or do something that's going to be so completely obvious to
people. Well, you know, I'm the one who predicts that he will take all of his clothes off in public in front of cameras within the next year or so, and just go batshit crazy mad. But that may be a bridge too far for some people. But for 30% of the American electorate, Emery and Marvelline will look at each other and say, I had no idea getting naked was how we was going to make America great again.
Well, have you seen the movie a few years ago, the George Clooney movie, Michael Clayton?
Yeah.
There's a scene in there when one of the senior lawyers in his firm, in a deposition, starts taking off his clothes and goes batshit crazy.
Well,
you remember the
clip that I play on Wednesdays before the offertory hymn, this.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord. Stop!
Yeah.
This man is clinically insane.
Well, that's
there you go.
That's Peter Boyle in The Dream Team, which is one of my favorite screwball comedies. And he has wandered into an African-American church in New York City.
I've often wondered the background on that one.
It's a storefront church.
Yeah, and everybody's got their hands in the air, and, you know, all. And he starts testifying, and they're like, testify. And he gets going, and when he gets to that line, he's stripping his clothes off because his madness is such that he cannot stand to wear clothing. And so by the time that, Doc from,
Christopher.
Yeah. Christopher Lloyd. By the time Christopher Lloyd runs in there, he's down to his boxers and his t-shirt and his socks.
Stop.
And all the people who had their hands in the air were clapping and testifying. They've gone real quiet because that was totally unexpected. But that's what I think of when I think of Donald Trump finally just losing it and tearing his clothes off in public.
Oh, I'm going to have to see this movie. Christopher Lloyd, Michael Keaton,
Peter Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy, you've never seen it. You won't be okay. It's hilarious.
It's like, wasn't the premise that they're all escapees, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, they get a day trip out of the asylum.
Oh, to the ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And Michael Keaton has anger management problems.
Mm-hmm.
And let's, in fact, I think I've got a Michael Keaton clip here. Yeah, there it is. Christopher Lloyd is obsessive compulsive. And he thinks he's the psychiatrist. And he tells Michael Keaton to straighten up the chairs in the group room.
Straighten up that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, there's a real mind bender for you, right?
No, Tracy, you're going to love it. You absolutely will. Oh, my God. We've run way over. But thanks, everybody, for another rousing Friday on the Front Porch conversation. And thanks to everybody who jumped in to finish out the week's fundraising. That saves us in a big way in the coming week when, you know, limited airtime. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Hey, Sparky, get well soon, buddy. I'm sorry you weren't feeling well. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room and in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. It's spring. There's a stink bug. I hate those little bastards. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on.live. Thanks, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. I'll be proud to be associated with Coal River Mountain Watch once again when we go to D.C. to work on the AIC Act. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later. Catch you from D.C.